The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. This is PFW in Progress.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No, man. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. So if you could be here around 9, that would be great.
Oh, and I almost forgot.
I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay, thanks.
Paul Perillo.
Well, look, I already told you. I deal with the goddamn customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
And Andy. And Andy?
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
Andy Hart.
I'm thinking I might take that new chick from logistics. Things go well, I might be showing her my O face. Oh. You know what I'm talking about.
Eric Scalavino, for now anyway.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care. When I make a mistake, I have 8 different people coming by to tell me about it. That's my only real motivation, is not to be hassled. That'll only make someone work just hard enough not to get fired.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, trying to define what the definition of a handsome woman during before the show.
And in the start of the show, Fred said, they have a defined chin, a chiseled chin.
Anyway, that's the kind of talk you'll get for
Do
the
they
next
ride in
two
a handsome
hours.
Carriage?
No, I'm only kidding.
No, we're going to get a long fight.
We are here. Well, we had a good one yesterday.
I heard. People are raving about it on the internet.
It was a good fight. It was a good substantive fight. It wasn't
It was a football. It was football.
It wasn't one of those.
It definitely went too long, but it was football.
I heard Paul said you actually made some arguments that made him think.
That's not what I said.
It was actually one.
What I said was.
It wasn't one of those semantic arguments.
Right. And what I said was there were times that Fred said, that even as stubborn as I am in an argument, I was like, oh, that's a good point. That's
actually
a good point.
You used.
And you know.
Because of me, not because of
and
him.
And if Andy was here, he'd be on both sides.
Right. Yeah. Right.
No, I wouldn't. The discussion, I believe.
Usually you're on.
Fill me in real quick.
Usually, depending on.
Is Darrell Revis the reason why everybody else is good? Is that?
I think he. I
no,
think
just
he,
Hightower. No. I was applauding.
I don't
want to
get. I don't want to get.
And we're not going to get back.
Well, you just said what I would say, so I was trying to give myself the opportunity to say what I would say.
We're not going
to
revisit.
It wasn't about this specific argument. He was taking a shot at you for playing all angles.
I don't play all angles. I think I'm very much definitive in my opinions.
But you're knee jerk.
At some point,
so
yeah.
Yes.
Your opinion changes.
I'm
minute by minute.
Well, a wise man once told me that they should change as the conditions on the ground change.
Right.
Right.
But that's not what happens.
So, for example, someone just asked me, you know, was I a guy that thought Hightower was going down bust road? Yes. This year, I think he's been the defensive MVP.
Yeah, but you go week to week with your opinions. So.
Well, I can only go 3 weeks, week to week to week. We've only seen 3.
That's true.
So I shouldn't change it. So no matter what happens, if they go out and blow Kansas City out, I shouldn't say anything good about the offense.
Because
they've sucked for 3 weeks, so don't do that.
What you shouldn't do is jump to conclusions before you have enough evidence to jump to a conclusion.
Now, who tells me when it's enough evidence?
You. Your big head.
Exactly. Hightower has been great. I have enough evidence. He's been very, very good to start
the
year.
What do we got for a practice update? How about if we
Eric's here.
The practice. I got to see a whole lot of stretching today.
Whole lot of stretching.
Yeah, every single bit of it.
And everybody was involved in that except?
Silver Seelinger, 2 days in
a row.
Same
as yesterday. Then.
Foot that he hurt against Oakland. 2 days in a row. No, that's not good for him.
And intrepid reporter Paul Perillo has.
He tweeted something. I forget exactly what it was. I'll look it up as I'm talking. He tweeted something last night that was sort of one of those cryptic.
Resigned to
seeming,
a fate that
seeming
doesn't.
Like he was, you know, you got to take what life gives you, roll with the punch stuff, something of that kind of nature. Maybe it could have been completely unrelated.
Maybe. Could also mean IR.
Yeah, that's.
But it could also just mean.
I just retweeted it.
Two injuries in a month.
Right.
You could
mean a lot of things.
This is kind of a test.
Right. Yep.
Maybe. Yeah, no news, no official announcement from the team on any transactions.
Nobody out there who shouldn't be out there?
Nobody out there who shouldn't be out there.
Oh, I don't know why I'm asking.
Couple
you.
Of black.
Was Tim Wright out there?
Getting back to the jumping to conclusions argument, you made one little mistake.
That was our call. That was poor. That was poor to me.
We did have three guys that I saw with black jerseys, though. They were all on defense.
Defense.
Yeah, I was just checking over my list again.
All on defense.
And they didn't have them yesterday, which was odd.
So
yesterday
I am
was the first.
Going to say, I have no idea. Just tell me.
Meatball. Joe Villano. And then two practice squad guys, Daxton Swanson, your guy.
Spear leader.
And Jagared Davis.
Supposed to a cheerleader? He's a spear leader?
Jagared Davis.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I like him back in that role.
Today's really Wednesday.
That's a good role for him. Yep. Thumper, you know, poop stirrer on the practice squad. I like that. I like that role. Physical player.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. The Patriots are getting ready for a Monday night game. In Kansas City.
I'm really excited.
Andy, you tweeted out something interesting this morning about the Kansas City fans being upset losing Guinness Book of World Record for the most noise, and they hope to get it back
from Seattle.
I'm assuming this game.
I would assume they have an opportunity against the Patriots, and big game. This is not a ho-hum game. Patriots coming to town. Now, I do think it's funny, the response I got on Twitter is so telling. Some were mocking Kansas City. Yeah, that's so stupid. First of all, it should come organically, blah, blah, blah,
blah,
blah.
I wish we could be like that.
No, I know. Yeah. But then other people were like...
Staged, organic, anything.
Right.
Noise.
Yeah. Right. Some other cynical fan said, well, Guinness is there. Maybe we'll have the Guinness record for most false starts by our offensive line. Turned it into a shot at our offensive line.
Speaking of that, I forgot to bring this up on Tuesday. I actually got complaints to my office voicemail from people in the so-called red seats that we... I won't mention the people, but that it was too loud, quote-unquote.
No. I saw those complaints. That was the PA and the speakers were too loud.
The speakers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I can imagine. That's probably true because it was so quiet in the stadium.
Exactly.
Those announcements probably seemed louder than
normal. They're just echoing through all the empty red seats.
Right. That had nothing to do with the crowd.
It was a dead game.
It had no game. It should have been.
It had no juice going into the game at all.
Yep.
Everybody was expecting to see... a really bad team get blown out, and what they ended up seeing was two bad teams on that day. I'm not saying the Patriots are a bad team.
They came for a coronation, and they saw a rock fight.
Yeah.
Oh, one last note from practice that I thought was a little, I don't know, curious, interesting, whatever.
Dante Scarnecchia was out there.
I think I would have mentioned that a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
The way they stretch in the lines, they have offense all on one side. The quarterbacks who stand out with their red jerseys are in the middle. And the defense to the left of them. So you got all white, two reds, and all blues. And for the first time that I can remember, usually the guys are in the same spot in the line, too. That makes it a lot easier for us to take attendance, too. After 5 minutes or so, all of a sudden, we lost Tom Brady for a second. And
panic!
Well, because we looked in the middle, all we saw was Garoppolo. And then it looked down at the very end of the line. Julian Edelman usually stands at the very, very end where the offensive linemen stretch. He and Matthew Slater, for some reason, like to stretch with the O-line. Brady ended up down there with Edelman.
Even in practice, he only goes where Edelman is.
Yeah, which, I mean, I've never seen them do that before, but they were clearly talking about something while they were stretching. And it was weird that it happened, like, during stretching. You know, it's not like there was a play that happened and he needed to go talk to him. It was just like a random in the middle of stretching.
Well, they were comparing, you know, TB12 is so much cooler than JE11. I disagree. JE11 is so much cooler than TB12.
Anyway.
It's not a good story, by the way. For Patriots fans, it's low-hanging fruit for criticism.
But maybe if he spent some time with Amendola, they'd throw to him.
Jeez. It is low-hanging fruit.
This is what happens, though, when we have nothing but stretching to see. This is the
right. You overanalyze stretching.
Yeah. You are particularly wound up today. I think I could really get you to go someplace you don't want to go today.
Some guy on NFL.com does their power rankings, and he came out with his after
not Andy
3 weeks in. The Patriots are ranked 7 on his power rankings, and in his description. He said, you know, even Amendola made an appearance, although he dropped one in the end zone. I just thought that was unfair.
I just almost swore.
Yeah. Right.
That's BS. He didn't drop one in the end zone.
That's exactly his
That
words.
Is unfair, and that is low-hanging fruit. That's picking. That's bullying. Yep. That is wrong.
Oh, it's bullying.
It is.
Take it from someone who knows. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was this? I don't even know his name. He's on NFL.com. If you can go there, you can, right on the homepage, you can see their rankings.
That's like a cheap pop. That's a wrestling thing. You know, that's wrong.
What team do you think they have ranked number one? What do you think?
Seattle?
Nope. Seattle was five, actually, I think.
That's stupid.
What's this, the Wilson R. Power Index?
When is that going to be
this
debuted?
Week. After this week.
After
next
this week.
Two.
He's got to wait until, like, you know, Monday week 16 and then, you know. Yeah, who do you think was number one on this guy's NFL.com power ranking?
Cincinnati.
You got
Cincinnati,
it.
Paul. Cincinnati.
I mean, if Seattle wasn't one, then Cincinnati is the only three. They're 3-0 and they've played the best.
Yeah.
But
if
Cincinnati
not
is
one,
not
they
one.
Shouldn't be five.
Seattle should be.
Yeah.
I think Seattle should be.
Low.
Seems a little flawed.
Yeah.
And you're telling me that the Patriots are seven, Seattle's five, so they're like nipping on the heels of Seattle?
Well, you don't know.
Holy crapoli!
You don't know what the gap is between five and seven.
One of those little lightning bolt gaps where it's like a big space.
You never know.
Hey, I found...
That's why, see, you would know if it were the Wilson-Hart Power Index, because the index is a number, and you would see what the divide is from 1 to 2, 2 to 3, and all the way down. It gives you an idea of how close teams are. That's why it's an index. It's a real index.
It's the Dewey Decimal System.
Yeah, I found Salinga's tweet. And
okay, what do you got?
It just was one of those kind of curious ones, not saying it meant anything, but life's trials are speed bumps to great outcomes. Stay true to the process. Hashtag focus. So I'm not saying that it means anything more than any, you know, I just thought it was a little interesting, and I retweeted it, didn't editorialize on my retweet, just retweeted it.
You didn't put IR question mark?
Right, but that's kind of what I was thinking.
Right.
Did something happen? Is maybe the injury a little more serious?
I was going to tweet out when I hurt my knee, this friggin' hurts, but, you know, I didn't think anybody cared.
They didn't.
But that was a good decision by you.
Right. I don't know. I just don't feel the need to tweet
just so
out.
You know, that people would have cared. You would have gotten responses both sides of the aisle, but from our listeners would have either mocked you for getting hurt, like, that's why fat guys don't play, or people that were actually worried about you.
Right.
They could have been the same person, too.
Yeah, we do have some people with multiple personalities.
Sure.
Me.
Yeah. Beat me to it.
All right, so what do we have to talk about today?
I'll tell you what I have to do. Yeah, I didn't know anything about it, but apparently there was a South Park.
Not just me, right?
Oh,
an NFL South Park. I saw like Roger Goodell and stuff. I'm going to need to go watch that. Did anybody see that?
No.
Yeah.
I saw the promo.
They
for
already
it.
Made a South Park based on
Punchline after last night's South Park episode.
Oh, wow.
And they showed a clip, and it was clearly supposed to be Roger Goodell in his office, and they were like Lombardis around and stuff, but they were curved, so they're probably just enough so you're not actually using the Lombardi.
What do you think of Bill Simmons getting suspended?
I think he deserved to be.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he tried to be.
Yeah.
This was his end game.
What did he say? He should have been suspended for daring them to suspend him, for swearing, or for
both.
Calling Goodell a liar.
Well, I don't know
nothing
the swearing
to do with Goodell.
Thing.
I don't think this has anything to do with Goodell. Yeah.
Does he normally swear?
Because a lot of
I don't
people
think
have,
so.
I've heard a lot of people call him a liar.
Yeah. And they haven't been suspended.
Air.
Teddy Bruschi called for his resignation.
Yeah.
I've never heard a BS report, but do they swear on there?
I don't know.
I don't think they do, and I have not heard.
I can't imagine they do because
with you, Andy.
Mickey Mouse doesn't let you swear.
Yeah. I haven't heard them either. I have not ever listened to one. I've seen, you know, references to them, but the guy that was with him immediately said, yeah, we'll bleep out the F-bombs and the BSs when they were talking about it. So I don't think that they normally swear on the – but to me, when you openly call for – your boss.
And threaten them.
You're threatening. He threatened ESPN.
He said, if they come, I'll go public.
I'm going public.
With what?
With what?
My guess is that, you know, he is privy to corporate conversations where they've been instructed what to say and what not to say about the league.
Let's hear it.
I mean,
right. And by the way, make him an ex-implied, fire him. If that's the case, if he's going to broadcast inner meetings and memos and stuff publicly, you're out.
Right.
I don't think you're that valuable. Now, they maybe do. They love him, but.
It was a pretty transparent move. I mean, this was his end game. He wanted all the publicity he's getting today. This is why he did it. This is what he wanted.
He's your guy.
And it worked. Yeah. It's not my guy.
You're going to hug him at the next Super Bowl?
If I see him.
What next Super Bowl?
Oh.
Hi, Bill.
Oh.
Listen, I used to work with the guy. I had no ill will toward him when I worked with him.
I didn't say that. I asked which Super Bowl.
Which Super Bowl? I heard you.
But the tone was, what next Super Bowl? That was the tone of it. That was the tone. We're not going to no Super Bowl, so don't worry about it.
I didn't say that.
Won't be hugging him.
Didn't say that.
Wow.
You can infer it that it could be
he has been
multiple
right,
Super
know.
Bowls.
About?
Remember the championship window closing?
Yep.
Well, we've been really close, but it's
since.
Been closed.
Well, they won the AFC championship in 2011.
Doesn't count.
doesn't count?
Nope.
Yeah, we don't count those.
Nope. I don't know. I think getting there does count for something because only
for
two,
something,
only two
but not
teams
for
get there.
Yeah, we didn't used to think that counted until we started getting there and not winning. Then it started counting. Mm-hmm. Right. That's how that works.
Yeah. Well, I think you have to appreciate what
when we went 3-for-3 in the beginning of the Brady Belichick era, getting there didn't count. Yeah.
With what they've done over this span, they've earned my trust, and they've earned, I think, the benefit of the doubt. Until this regime changes, I think they've earned that.
I think they have, too, but it doesn't mean you don't question it and wonder.
No, of course not.
Are they good enough?
You always want to get, you know, you always want to figure out what do we need to do to, you know, win it next time.
Right.
But there's a lot of teams trying to figure out how do we even do what the Patriots are doing. They
I
can't
know.
Even get
well, but
that.
The, but the get Patriots, a quarterback like Brady.
But the Patriots were that team for decades.
Right.
But and then they turned it around. Like,
right.
You know, the Steelers have, you know, years arbitrarily where they are, you know, like last year. They were not a good team. They missed the playoffs. But for the most part, they're in the playoffs and they contend year after year. And they have been since the 70s. Once they had that era of dominance, they have been relevant. Very few teams, maybe Green Bay in the 80s might be an example, where, you know, they were a dynasty for a while and then they really hit bottom again and then had to come back up.
Mm-hmm.
Very few dynasties do that. I mean, San Fran hasn't really been terrible since they were.
Oh, they were terrible.
Well,
no,
yeah.
They
consistently.
They bottomed out, but they've turned it around.
Yeah.
Short term.
Dallas is always in the playoffs. Pittsburgh, like I mentioned. I mean, I think New England, now that they have become a dynasty, I think it's going to be a long time before they really bottom out. I can't see that happen.
You would think.
If history is a guide.
You know? I think it. You have a system, and if it's, you know, you have smart people running it, you know, you'll stay competitive. It's these teams like I can see once Sean Payton left and, you know, obviously, what's his name? Drew Brees isn't going to play forever. If Benson's still the owner, I could see them bottoming out because I think he got lucky.
Well, let me ask you a question
along
those lines.
But they weren't a dynasty either.
No, they weren't. And that's what I mean. You know? And I think because of Benson.
Yeah. This is not meant to be a criticism of Robert Kraft, but we know that Bill Belichick has a lot of control over the whole football operation, right? Is it more concerning when he leaves because of that? Because even though Robert Kraft runs the show, a lot of what is decided by Bill Belichick.
Absolutely, it's concerning.
Because now you might... Well,
it depends who takes his place.
Yeah, but does he who take his place get full control, or is it now more of sort of division of power?
Tom Brady is, you know, one of the main reasons they're successful, but also the system in place is, you know, year to year, consistency.
What system are we talking about?
Belichick.
The way he runs the draft, the way he runs free agency,
You're talking about Belichick?
That's all
Belichick.
He.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. That's my question,
That's why I was a little confused. I didn't know if we were talking about post-Brady or post-Belichick.
Post-Belichick.
Okay. So that system goes with it.
That's right.
Well, maybe.
Unless it's somebody...
Unless Robert Kraft can hire someone who...
Josh McDaniels.
Yeah. Then it won't change that much, I don't
Fans everywhere are booing right now
based on his recent... I think if you see that... Yeah, I know, because Andy's right. Right now, that would not be a popular choice.
He's a whipping boy right now.
He's been a whipping boy. But I don't feel like the same system would work with just any coach.
I don't either.
I don't think it's the system.
Whoever the coach is...
I think the coach is
first,
exceptional.
It has to start with... being someone that Kraft would have confidence in handing over the keys to. That it starts with that, and then, of course, that coach having a system that, you know, given a few years, can you know, do what Belichick's done. But
who would you have confidence in?
I was just going to say, who is that person?
Well, first of all,
I wouldn't want really any coach coaching under the system that we have in place right
now.
Does
any team have that system? I mean, it was the trend for a while, like late 90s, early
2000s. By that, you mean like trying to get bargain basement guys?
No, no, no. I'm saying one guy running the show.
No,
every team has a GM now.
Well, I was talking more about what Eric was talking about.
Eric mentioned the Steelers. It just seems that through the various coaches, they do have a system they adhere to. They don't, you know, they usually, you know, build through the draft. They focus on defense. You know, they high-priced free agents, they often don't hold on to them. You know, they replenish from below. They got, you know, not lucky, but they have Roethlisberger, so that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
That really helped them get back up there, you know, having that strong quarterback. But even that, you know, they've always relied on it, and they stuck to it. They're patient, and it works for them.
No matter who the coach is.
Well, it worked for a while, but they haven't been relevant for a while now either.
Well,
they Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
When was the last time they made the playoffs?
2 years ago, right?
3 years ago.
It's been more than that.
Really?
I think they're two out. 3 years ago, I think they made it.
Okay.
But my question would be, is that a Rooney thing?
Yes, I
think
it is.
So, yeah.
So what's the Kraft thing?
You know, what
would that be? Well, what would you say
as an example? Question is, what has he learned from Belichick, and what does he choose to take from what, you know, this era and try to recreate with a new coach / general manager?
And avoid what he learned from the Parcells-Carroll era.
Right. And maybe the stuff that he learned from Parcells, and he's like, okay, you know, that was good. I just wasn't ready for it at the time, but there's stuff I'm sure he learned from Parcells.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Because Belichick did.
Right.
A lot of what Belichick does is what he learned from Parcells.
Right.
You know?
Now, this isn't really a discussion that's appropriate for this time and the season and whatever, but I just think that's a really... what is the non-Belichick Patriot way? And I don't know necessarily the answer.
Yeah, there's obviously other ways can work. There isn't just one way.
No, but if we make Robert Kraft, if we could get inside his head, like these are the, he always says he likes to hire smart people and let them do their job, hire managers and let them hold them accountable, but give them whatever they need to do their job. He clearly has done that with Bill Belichick.
Yep.
Correct?
Yep.
But how does that play itself out in the post-Belichick era? Is that a GM and a coach now? Is that, okay, we're going to bring one guy in?
Right.
And how active are the Krafts going to... And the other little side shoot here is how... Jonathan Kraft, when does he sort of ascend to the decision-maker who's in contact?
If I was a Kraft right now, I would already be tagging guys that were potential coach, GM, and just GM. I would already be having a list, a short list.
Maybe they do.
Three lists or two?
I would have a list of the top GMs for whichever way I want to go.
I agree. Yeah.
I would have a GM list. I would have a coach-only list.
And
I would have a both list.
I wouldn't have a both list.
I would.
Why not?
I don't want a both.
Why not?
I don't like the both.
So yeah, you only think certain...
I do.
You think very few people can do what Belichick's doing?
Yeah.
Well, that may be true, but you have to at least maybe make a list.
I'm
going to
go
if there's
in.
Anybody out
I know
there.
What your point is, Andy, but I'm going to go in assuming that I'm not going to get a guy
zero,
as good as Belichick. It's just like Grace.
I think the list is zero. You're right.
But
zero.
I don't
have the list. I just won't write any names.
I don't like the idea of the coach not having the power, and I think that potentially could be a tough way to go about
it. The personnel power.
Yeah. Well, these are players that I didn't bring in, and I can't get rid of them because the other guy brought him in. I mean, it can work, obviously. It works. You mentioned Pittsburgh. I mean, it obviously worked with Colbert and Tomlin and before that with Tower. But,
yeah, but it's a hard
dynamic.
It's an interesting one, too, because the coach can have input, theoretically, with the GM on who he wants for personnel. But I can't imagine the personnel guy is having input with the coach on what plays to call, who plays when, you know what I mean?
Unless you're Bill Polian.
The plays to call, no. But the who plays, I think that's part of why I kind of don't like that system. I do think that the GM has sway on playing.
Because if he says,
I gave you in the second round. Yeah. I want him out there.
But who has both now? Well, like, who has power?
It all comes down to who can fire who, right?
Well, it's Andy, I think most teams have it set up where they have a coach and a GM. Now, what you have to understand, and I don't know the inner workings of every team the way we feel like we know this one. I mean, people right now are snickering saying you don't know this one either.
Yes, we do.
I think some coaches have the power. They're the number one. I think Sean Payton is the number one guy.
You hate Mickey Loomis.
In New Orleans. No, but I think they work together. But think Peyton ultimately has final say. In other places, it's the GM who has the ultimate final
say.
Like
Kevin Costner.
Yeah, right. But that's a good example. Like, would you give the key if Belichick
that was
left?
Funny. Why don't you give him the nod?
Would you give Peyton the dual role? Would you trust him enough at this point to do that?
I don't know what he does now with personnel.
I have to find out from
insiders who really is the guy there. And if I find out it is Sean Payton, I might.
I dismiss him doesn't mean I hate him.
You know?
I mean, obvious. We say obvious. I don't know. I mean, a lot of teams also have a team president. who can fire both guys, and neither guy can fire the other guy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So now you get that little triangle in there, and that's failed in plenty of places, sure, too. But I just, like, I'm sure if push came to shove, Pete Carroll would be in and John Schneider would be out.
I agree, and I'll take it that way. If I'll give you your two-guy system as long as the coach has more power than the GM.
But I want it to be like 51-49.
But that's okay. That's okay.
You know
just
what I mean?
Need,
I don't
I need
want
the
to
coach.
Push over GM. Well,
I need my coach to be comfortable enough that he knows he can make the decisions on the football field.
And that's why you need a coach and a
– Pete Carroll didn't have that here.
Maybe that's why some places have it the three-way, so that – you know, maybe the coach has more power, but he can't fire the GM if he disagrees with him. Only
right.
a president can fire either one of them.
Well, yeah, when I say 51-49, I mean sort of in Carroll wants this guy, Schneider wants this guy, and they really can't figure it. Well, okay, Carroll gets his guy. I'm sorry. But ideally you have 50-50, and, you know, this time I get my guy, but we'll keep an eye on it, and I'll tell you if you were wrong, and next time you might get your guy. And
yeah.
It's hard.
It's
because
hard.
Even
egos.
Even with the president.
It is hard.
The president brings in the coach and bring the first time those two feud and he sides with one of them, well, now he doesn't, he's with him. And
yeah,
so I
good
do,
point.
Like,
that's a good point. It's not an easy.
And we know personally, it's then so, you have a whole nother layer.
It's so inexact. You know.
It is. It's a fine line because I don't think it, listen, Belichick has been so successful that it's worked, but it's also dangerous to have one guy have so much power. You know, it's worked because he's so good at coaching.
Right.
He's so good at putting a winning product out there. But, you know,
it hasn't worked way more often than it's worked.
Right. And I do think, as long as if you can have Andy's way, I think as long as the coach, like Pete Carroll was the opposite of what he is in Seattle. I agree with you. From afar, from 3,000 miles away, it looks like Pete Carroll has more sway than John
right.
Schneider. That wasn't the case when Pete Carroll was here.
Oh,
but Greer had more sway, and it showed to me.
I think
that was the biggest part of the problem with those teams, is the players didn't feel like they had to be accountable to the coach.
In all honesty,
he didn't have the final
say. The perfect solution on some level would be like McDaniels and Caserio. Like, guys who have worked together forever, who seemingly have a great relationship. One is the personnel guy, one is the coach, and you think they're going to be fine. Now, that's no guarantee they're going to be fine, because, you know, that changes once the bullets start
first
to fly.
First time Josh
decisions.
Calls him Serious Nick in a public press conference.
Right. So, but, you know, obviously, I don't think fans would be happy with that if Bill leaves and they announce Nick's the GM and
I
Josh
get your
is the
larger
coach.
Point.
But, you know, those two guys have worked together. I mean,
John Carroll would be happy.
Yes, John Carroll would be.
Maybe they hire London Fletcher. You mentioned the different Patriots way, and I think you know with Kraft, like what is Kraft? Because Kraft has done it and he's been successful at it in different ways. I mean, they had their style in the '90s was diametrically opposite, basically, as for what they do now. They kind of overpaid to keep some of their guys and whatnot, and in free agency they went out and they were a little bit more aggressive, and it worked. They were good teams then too. I mean, I'm sure if Belichick was the coach of those late 90s teams after Parcells, they would have won more than Pete did.
Mm. Mm. 10-6, 9-7, 8-8.
Right. Don't you think Belichick would have been better than that with those teams?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he basically inherited that team and 2 years later had it in the Super Bowl.
He still would have had that albatross.
Bledsoe.
Wow. Stop the blasphemy.
I don't know why we get into that conversation.
No, but it's interesting.
It is, but it's not appropriate to the time.
No, we got a big game coming up on, Monday night. I guess we got a little more time. But
we don't,
this
really.
This is our last show.
This is our last show. So for us, a Thursday is a Thursday. It's a Friday is not a Thursday.
Well, Haynes has a question here.
Did you see he broke out the every short week? There's a long week.
Or I should say, yeah, Haynes in Houston.
Monday conference
man.
Call.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
What happened?
Oh, I did something.
Yeah,
okay, now we have time to talk because he has to log back in.
I hadn't touched the email for so long it logged me out.
Yeah, that's what fans have noticed, too.
Oh, damn. And I changed my password this morning. So I typed in the wrong password.
Then you typed in
the wrong
password
three times and I'm locked out.
Locked out.
I'm not going to have emails.
21st century problems. Let's see. Okay, Josh, Haynes in Houston. I see that Kansas City
Who's
has
Josh?
The second highest sack total in the NFL so far this season
yes.
with 9. After seeing New England's offensive line struggles this season, how do you think Josh McDaniels will primarily attack the Chiefs? Run heavy, three-quarter wide receiver sets, three-four wide receiver sets, screens and draws, play action pass. What do you think?
Yes. Now, I think they should run. Paul and I can have another argument. This is another team that's given up 5.1 yards per carry on the ground.
We thought that last week.
Yes, that's
my
point.
And they did.
2.8.
32 runs. They just didn't run it well. They got to do it well.
Yeah. I think they're going to attack the middle of the field. I think you know, the pressure from Kansas City mostly comes from the outside.
Yeah, Ali in Houston, but they have some interior rush with Poe and some other guys.
Dontari Poe is pretty good.
Yeah.
He's a Poe man.
See, that's been the thing that people.
Warren Sapp.
I like that. The edge pressure has always been something that I think Brady has done a good job of handling because he's so willing to step up into the pocket.
Like last
the
week.
Interior of the line has been so bad through three games that he hasn't been able to do that because the pressure has been pretty much universal. It's been spread apart, not just Cameron Wake, but he steps away from Cameron Wake in the opener and Jared Audrick is right there for him. I fear that could happen with a guy like Poe this week. So the line, listen, we all know that the line needs to get better.
I mean,
that's the number one
problem. No matter
what
the plan is, it's not going to work if the line doesn't hold up its end.
And the running game.
But then that's
when
you get into fullbacks and tight ends and, you know, tight sets with Gronk split. So he's at least a threat to chip a guy before he escapes into his route and all that crap.
Yeah.
But I can't tell you exactly how all that's going
to play out. Tim Wright has 4 meaningful catches this game.
His first 4 is a
4
Patriot.
Meaningful catches.
4 meaningful catches.
Wow.
Yep.
That could happen.
How many total?
How many useless catches?
Right.
No, I think that.
Well, I mean, his defense, LaFell had some, you know.
Right.
3rd and 10, bubble screen for 3. I mean, that's kind of a meaningless catch.
Yeah. So I think that Wright's going to be part of the game
bubble
plan,
screen
in other words.
Freaking.
All right.
Turtle.
I think the middle of the field has to come into play here.
Eric Berry, just so you know.
Yeah,
is
why do you think? I'm curious. Why do you think the middle of the field is so important?
I just think that.
What do you think Kansas City has?
Again,
there?
It depends on what the line can do and what they can do against Poe. But I think you're going to see Brady stepping up and, you know, getting rid of the ball real quickly.
I mean, that's generally where the Patriots pass the ball is in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if there was something because Andy makes a point. I mean, if Eric Berry is good enough. Healthy enough to make an impact.
Oh, he's very good.
That's not an area that I would necessarily want to test.
Mm. He's a very, very good safety.
He is.
But he's not 100%, and neither is Charles. So those are two big pluses for the Patriots heading into the
run.
Game.
I'm saying it again. Run.
Run the ball.
Run.
I agreed with you last week on that particular game plan, and I would agree with you again this week. I think when you have a team that struggles to stop the run,
and you
gotta make them
to
stop it. Now, last
anything.
Week, Oakland stopped it. You know, the Patriots got off to a decent start running the ball last week. You know, my stupid efficient run stat. I think they had 6 out of their first 8. They got 4 yards or more or a carry that resulted in a first down. They had 1 out of the next 21 were efficient. I mean, that's a long time to go without any productive runs.
Let's go to the phones, the Ace Ticket Hotline. Justin's in Virginia. Hey, Justin.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
So,
I agree with Andy's points. I really think we need to run it. I think we run better than we pass. And I think to be pass first, you need to have your crap together as a passing team. And I don't think we have our crap together as a passing team. I think Ridley and Green are better than – well, first of all, they're not both as injury-prone as the tandem of Gronk and Julian Edelman. And I think generally we're running the ball better than
I disagree with
that
on Vereen.
Yeah, both.
Well,
yeah, but
Ridley is the healthiest guy out of all of those.
Yeah,
the other three guys are injury prone.
You're not going to change your game plan to being run first just because Gronk gets injured. I mean, that's not the reason.
No, I want to change it because the pass protectors can't protect Brady.
Okay.
That's why I want to change it.
Yeah, I want to go run first because I think the other team struggles to stop the run. I don't think they've run the ball any more effectively than they've passed it so far in through 3 games.
They haven't.
I'm
not very good offensively.
Play action, though, too. And
you
I think,
can't go play action
if
you can't run
you can't
the ball.
Run, it won't work.
32 carries for how much, Andy?
76, I believe.
2.8? Yeah. You're not running a lot of successful play action with that kind of production.
No. And like Brady said, you're also not running play action on 3rd and long and these different things.
And you don't want
They'd
to
be
turning
happy
your
for
back.
You to run.
I'll tell you, I think they might need to get in the shotgun a little bit more.
Shotgun, no huddle.
No huddle.
No.
I don't know if I want to do that.
I definitely don't want to no huddle because I don't think, if you go no huddle, any of the receivers will know what the hell they're doing.
What's that, Justin?
That's a good point.
And I think we need a little more jet sweep action, a little more off tackle running with maybe try Danny Amendola at it or Electric Man.
Well, they've been pretty good with Edelman doing that. you know, having him come across and...
No, but just to mix it up, like, once every, I don't know, four, we get Danny Amendola on it.
Get him the ball somehow, right?
That didn't work so well last year, did it? Isn't that the play he got knocked the ball out?
Is that a
reverse? Yeah, but he did.
No, it ended around.
When he got knocked the...
I didn't remember the specific.
All right, Justin,
I thought it was an end
you.
Around.
Yeah, I
jet sweep.
I agree with Justin that I would try to run the football this particular week. I think Kansas City has struggled. They have a lot of injuries on that defense. I think this is a time that you can really you can keep them in that. I also think you talked about that crowd stuff, Andy, that you threw out there at the beginning. I think that's a really good way to keep the crowd out of it. When you're throwing a lot, the crowd is sort of whooped up into a frenzy looking for sacks,
right,
and trying to get pressure, trying to rattle the offensive line. When you're running, if you can do it successfully and you're getting 5 yards a carry, and you just that's a hard thing to continue the enthusiasm for the crowd.
Running makes sense on every level this week. Crowd, the best part of their defense is their edge rushers. The struggles you have on offense, so maybe eventually you can set up play action. They don't stop the every aspect points to run, which means they'll come out in five wide.
Right.
How many times have you seen like a crowd? They'll be going crazy defensively. First play of the game. And then all of a sudden the guy breaks through the line and gets like a 7 yard gain in silence. Right. It's like one play, silence.
Yep.
I think if you can run the ball effectively, you can really take the crowd out
of
the game.
Get Jimmy in there. Get Ridley rolling.
Peter writes in, Reese doesn't see any changes to the starting O-line versus Kansas City. Do you agree? What is your prediction?
I think sooner or later, Stork's the starter and Devy's out.
And it certainly seems that Bill was,
I think, Monday night
trending that
could
way on
now,
Tuesday.
Rookie center, first game.
What better
Arrowhead
time?
Stadium Throw with Guinness fire. Book of Records in the house.
Throw him into the fire.
I am just curious what people have seen. I mean, he has not played that much.
Who?
Stork.
He's well coached.
He's played about 10 or 15 snaps, I think, the last two games. But people are convinced that it's been so much better. And I'm just curious
I don't
as
know.
To what people
no,
have
I don't
seen.
See that.
And I like
you missed the first game when he came in, remember?
Right.
He played.
Yeah. He was incredulous.
He was so dominant, Fred didn't see it.
Right.
But that would be
well, you don't
especially
want your center to be, you know.
The way I thought he sucked early in camp and running all those laps and pooping himself and all that. I'm not sure he's the guy you want to throw out there against the Chiefs with.
I think
you know,
it's funny that he pooped himself.
They
and he means
this
it
guy.
Literally. He means it literally, not figuratively.
Yeah, fourth round?
Yes.
Fourth round draft.
It's a Remington Award winner.
Right. Comes from a national championship team. He's played in front of loud stadiums before.
Sure. This is a different beast, baby.
If he can't handle it, then he can't
handle
it.
Right. Why'd you draft him in the fourth round of center?
Because it's a fourth.
Because I was going to take him in the second round, but he doesn't handle crowds well.
Cattell from St. Louis tells me the person who did the power ranking on NFL.com is Elliot Harrison.
Never heard of him.
Do we know him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's
who the hell Elliot is that?
I've heard that name.
He's on the
I don't know
the
who
NFL
it is.
Network.
Why does he have his own power rankings?
He's a fantasy football guy, I think.
Whoa, we got a fantasy football guy doing power rankings?
I don't know who it is, but I've seen that name on NFL.com. He's Christ. Not like a new guy that comes in.
Never
yeah, Alex,
jeez.
Alex
why can't
from
you
Kentucky
disagree
reminds
with the guy's
us
rankings.
That
you're very protective.
Mike DeVito and Derek Johnson are out for the Chiefs, so he thinks that'll help the running.
Yes, we know that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And their best safety at best is making his return.
Questionable.
At worst, won't be out there.
Okay.
I think that's a big part of the reason why the Chiefs have really struggled to stop the run so far.
Yes.
Yeah.
Derek
Johnson Derek and Mike
Johnson,
DeVito
Mike
got hurt in
that's
the first
your run
game.
Defense.
They both ruptured their Achilles in the first game.
You don't think if we lose Vince Wilfork and Gerard Mayo, we're going to struggle to stop the run?
Well,
we did
last year.
We'll be trading for Isaac Sopolaga.
Right. Well, let me bring up.
That much.
No.
They had an opportunity. I thought the last game, they moved Vince a little bit off the nose at times, and they had Salinga.
They
in
tried,
there.
Yeah, for
right?
the first quarter.
Early in the game, obviously, because Salinga didn't play very long. He's really the only other guy that has the bulk.
Well, there's Tommy Kelly. Oh,
to play on the inside.
See, that's usually something I would say.
Right. I can never tell where he's going.
They'll be fine.
You make
they
fun
have
of Andy.
Earned the benefit of the doubt.
You make fun of Andy for his, you know, his two-sided arguments, and then you come up with that.
Right.
We just don't know where
you stand. You opened the show with, I think they've earned the benefit of the doubt. Now you're mocking a cut.
Well, listen, the day he was cut, what did I say? I'm really baffled by this one.
That's like at the end of our argument
yesterday.
Did
he say that, Paul?
But at the end of our argument yesterday, he kept trying to like make me out to be the town villain because I don't think the defense is great. He goes, what do you think is going to happen? I said, I think they're going to struggle against teams that have good offenses. What I said, well, why do you think that? And I said, The same reason I think the offense is going to get better. Because the last 10 years I've watched the offense play well, and I have confidence they'll straighten this out and get better. The last 10 years I've watched the defense struggle, and I don't have the same confidence in them that I do in the offense.
It's funny, I'm the exact opposite.
I left him somewhat speechless.
I think there's a chance the defense is going to be better, and I'm very concerned about the offense.
You know what, Andy? At one of these years, that's going to happen.
Right.
The offense is not going to get it together,
past
and the defense is going to be better.
Does not necessarily ensure future gains.
And that might happen this year. That might be absolutely. Now, obviously, the best case scenario
You'll
would
tell
be
me in 5 years.
The defense is legit, and the offense gets better, and all of a sudden you got what everybody predicted was going to happen.
Which is
this
what
year.
Will happen. Mike Gerken writes in
Tommy Kelly.
As a fan,
unless Tommy Kelly plays.
As a fan living in the KC area, I've been waiting for the Patriots to come to town for years.
Nice.
I will be attending my first game ever. And I'm very excited. Is there anything planned special for the team or you guys over the weekend? I know that barbecue will probably be on your list of things to eat when in town. I can recommend one place. It would be Oklahoma Joe's.
It is
hands down the best in town. Anyway, I really hope the Patriots can get their bleep together so I can see a win Monday night in my first game ever.
He's so excited the Patriots are coming to town, he changed his name to Dill Spear.
Do it for the pickle.
You want to know an interesting little factoid?
Gherkin's little grows to a dill spear.
Yeah.
What do they call the full-size pickle?
Didn't get it the first time. Yeah.
What do they call the full-size pickle?
The gherkin? The full-size gherkin?
The gherkin's the little
big
one.
No.
Yeah, what do they call
the full-size ones?
Yeah, that's not a gherkin anymore. Gherkins are miniature gherkins.
Gherkins. I thought they were sweet.
You know that pickle
gherkins
in a bag you can get at some delis?
They have sweet and they have sour and dill.
Yeah, but what is it?
But the big pickle?
Just a big pickle,
right?
I'm really not intending this to be anything dirty, but I feel dirty every time I...
It's like that old German game, hide the pickle.
No, you know the...
it really is an old German game on your Christmas tree.
You know what's kind
of... I have
of
one.
A...
You don't have one on your Christmas tree?
No.
I get a big pickle on my Christmas
tree.
No,
I don't have a big pickle.
It's an old German... Would.
I'll vouch for it.
Old German, whatever they call Santa Claus, and you hide the pickle, and whoever finds the pickle gets a
You
present.
Put an ornament
you
on your pickle?
Santa Claus.
Andy always finds the pickle.
No, my wife...
Did you know, Freddie, that the Belichick era...
After looking very hard.
It's about the size of a
starts out a gherkin and ends out a... What do they call it? The big pickle?
The big pickle.
It's
big. Freddie, did you know that in the Belichick era, the Kansas City is the most common Monday night opponent?
Is that right?
Yeah, this will be the fourth time they're playing Kansas City on a Monday night.
In the What's their record? 3-1?
I believe they're 3-0.
Oh. Yeah, they couldn't be 3-1.
They had the blowout here a couple of years ago against, what was it, Tyler Palco?
Yes.
Palco.
When were the other two?
One of the great defensive performances.
Have they ever had a good defensive performance against a good quarterback, Paul?
Oh, yeah.
In your eyes?
Yeah.
Manning, 03?
Well, here, yeah. They've dominated.
11 years ago, they once had a good defensive performance.
Well, I didn't say that they haven't had any since then, but yes, they've shut down good offenses in the past. And I said, I told Fred, I made him the promise yesterday that – I won't do the yeah, but. You know, yeah, but they turned it over three times. Yeah, but this guy. As long as the quarterbacks are playing and they're healthy, if they shut them down, I'll sit there and say, Fred, this is what you told me was going to happen, and that's what happened.
Which quarterbacks?
Like Rodgers, Rivers. I mean, Rodgers, Rivers, Manning. You know, the good
Dalton.
Quarterbacks.
You know, so we won't say Woodhead's hurt, Allen's hurt.
Right, and
Allen's not playing either.
I won't do it.
I won't do it with Woodhead. I promise you on that.
Well, yeah, that would be.
Yeah, because I think he's loose change.
But if the whole, if the
they
rest
actually got better when he got hurt. Yeah.
But if the rest of the team is out, I mean, come on. If it's Woodhead, Matthews, Allen, Gates, they're all out, and it's just Rivers.
This isn't what you promised not to.
No,
do.
But Fred, Fred and I talked about it. Was saying it's not about one or two injuries. It's
right.
Like last year with the Patriots defense, that was a lot of injuries. That was legit.
So Gates and Allen is one or two injuries.
That affected their performance, right?
Right.
Last year, would you say that the widespread injuries on defense, that was legit?
You didn't think it did, but most fans thought
so.
It did.
I just think that everybody else had injuries, too. That was where I disagreed with Brett.
Let's go to the phones. Tyrone's in Delaware. Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, I've been sitting back listening to the last 2 days. I'm not even going to go into it. Matter of fact, I got a call last week concerning the GM part or whatever. But we all know what's the problem. But I'm not even going to discuss that. But I am going to discuss Fred because Andy and Paul was finally saying what I've been saying for years. If you know what I'm saying. But Well, what I want to say to you, Fred, is that I'm going to show you on other teams where we lack. Now, if you watch the game Sunday night, you know, we had a chance to get Emmanuel Sanders to keep the lead, who used to play for us, and we had a chance to get the Marcus Ware. Look at it in this perspective. All three of them guys, what's the GM? I forgot it, John Elway did. All three of them guys, to me, my opinion objectively, were responsible for Denver staying in that game. You understand what I'm saying? Emmanuel Sanders was ripped, and I thought Belichick liked guys that could do, you know, two things. Emmanuel Sanders could run immediate routes, and he could stretch the field. He showed that. And, you know what I'm saying? And then DeMarcus Ware made a big play, and then Aqib Talib made that hit ball. So players, at the end of the day, going to make plays. And that's to show you, you know what I'm saying, you've got to be aggressive in free agency. You know what they're talking about in Washington and Philadelphia? Because we're talking about here in Patriots land that, you know, half of the people are agreeing that the talent is not enough, and then half going on your side, Fred. But, you know, in them other two cities, they're not talking about talent. They're talking about which quarterback is better, or Dutrie or Cousins, or in the Eagles' face. They're talking about something else. Nobody's bringing up talent. And one other thing I want to say is that to show you how far behind we is, because I don't believe in the defense at all, because what I've been telling you guys, I bet on these games. So I am objectively looking, you know what I'm saying? I love the Patriots, but if I don't feel like...
It's all about the money.
Exactly. If I don't have a chance, feel that it, like 2 years ago when we was in the playoffs, I called in. When we lost to Baltimore, I called in. I said, yo, I bet $500 in Houston. On Patriots versus Houston. I knew we was going to win that game because I know we was better than them. But when we faced Baltimore, I hold back my money and I said, look, we threw a lot of short passes, and Baltimore defends the short passes very well. So I stayed away from that game.
Shouldn't have.
So what I'm trying to say is, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, look, like I said, them three guys that John Elway got, and I wish we had them, they're some big additions. And because of them three additions, they even though they lost, to me, Denver got up to Seattle, they got up on that scale. I think, to me, they neck and neck, to me, because I was very impressed that Russell Wilson was running for his life for the second half. And one other thing, look, I want to hear this off air. Look at a team like Denver and Seattle, and look at the Patriots. Denver and Seattle, by every position, damn near, is better than the Patriots in almost every position. Give me one position that we better, probably coach, well, Manning.
Probably?
And Brady. So, probably. But any other position, I think the Seattle and the Denver's are better than us. But I want to hear you off here. I'll talk to you guys
later. Okay, all right, thanks. I mean, I'm not going to go position by position, but, you know, you get to a point where, you know, guys are pretty even, and then, you know, like Dont'a Hightower right now. I mean, he's just playing as good as you can play for a linebacker. Yeah. You know,
he's been the most consistent defender they've had.
I'll take Darrell Revis over any other cornerback, including Aqib Talib. You can go down. I'm sure they have players that you would rather take, but it evens itself out. It really does. I mean, right now on offense, I would say, yeah, Denver has, in the skill positions, the edge. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. You know,
I mean, a big part of that is just one guy, Demaryius Thomas.
What position would they not have the edge?
On offense or defense? No, I said they probably have it on the
edge. You said
on
skill positions.
Well.
What position would they not have the edge?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know their line that well, you know.
The only thing I would say is I can't even fully do it because I was going to say running back, but they both fumble.
Right.
I was going to say give the edge to Ridley, but he fumbles too. I was going to say because Ball fumbles.
Yeah.
But Ridley does too, just because he hasn't fumbled lately.
But I'll say that maybe Denver's running game right now is better than the Patriots' running game. And maybe that's because of their line. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think Denver's offensive line is better than the Patriots' offensive line. Yeah. I don't know about all five individual guys matched up against the other,
right,
but they've played better than the Patriots. I mean, Ryan Clady's better than Nate Solder.
Yeah. All right. But, you know, Denver's not putting up the points that we're accustomed to seeing from them. So
no, but they're
what
not
gives?
But they're not putting up 16 points against Oakland either.
Okay.
At home. Yeah. I mean, it's 31 and 24.
And they've played some good teams. They played Chicago.
They played Indy and Seattle.
Oh, Indy, I mean. Yep.
They played. I mean, 34 and 24 is a little different than 16 to Oakland.
Yep.
Now they only put up 20 against Seattle at Seattle, but
it's Seattle.
Yeah, it is.
I don't want to make it out. You know, Seattle's not like this impenetrable force.
But,
San Diego piled up points on Seattle. But not only you might have only gotten 20, but the way you got that last eight was pretty impressive. If you're Denver. Yeah.
I can't really argue that much with Tyrone because I wanted Emmanuel Sanders. You know, I was big on him. I thought that
I'm still worried
about. They should have given him an extra few dollars and gotten.
I still
over
worry
here.
What would happen if Emmanuel Sanders was the guy.
Yeah.
Because I think you can make an argument. We know they liked Sanders, right? Because they offered
they made him
2 years
offer.
Ago.
Yeah. Restricted free agent offer.
You could make an argument that Sanders and LaFell, different kinds of receivers, but similar resumes.
Yeah.
From their previous stops. So why – I'm not any more convinced that Sanders would be much more productive if he were here. Yeah. And that's what worries me.
Yeah.
That's what worries me.
All right.
But I don't have an answer to that because obviously Sanders isn't here, so I don't know how many catches he would have.
More phone calls. Kevin in New York. Hey, Kevin.
Hey. I was calling about the lines. First, I don't think we should have
The betting lines? What lines are we talking about here?
Offensive and defensive lines. He just said Tommy Kelly.
Offensive and defensive.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I don't think we should have cut Kelly, and I don't think we should have traded
Mankins.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And also, how about that the tight end that we got
Tim Wright
last year from the Jets?
Wow, that wasn't me. That was our producer.
And that wasn't us either. We're often accused of that.
I can't take that anymore.
You know, I rarely side with Kevin, but I think Kevin was right.
Does he mean the tight end that the Jets got from us?
Is that Matthew Mulligan he's talking about? Sudfeld? Tight end
could
from
be.
The Jets?
You can
Matthew
get him again
Mulligan?
If you want because he's out there.
Yeah. I think he's talking about Mulligan.
He was cut by the Bears.
Mm. Unless he was talking like you might be right, Fred. The tight end the Jets got from us.
Yeah. Zach Sudfeld.
That was like pulling teeth.
The next great tight end that Fred called him.
And you were a jerk to him to start off. You probably made him uncomfortable.
Well, I don't know.
We're talking about the betting lines?
I don't know what he's talking about.
You knew what he was talking
Mike
about.
Mike in Toronto.
He was just being a jerk.
What's up, Mike?
Boys.
Yeah.
What's up, Mike?
What's up? Listen, I got to agree with that previous caller, Solomon Abdi. The Patriots have no positions over any other of those two like competitive teams. I mean, aside, I'd probably say tight end, and then player by player. I mean, Revis, he's consistent with Sherman. Tlaib's around that sort of area. But how the hell are we supposed to contend when Denver's going out in the offseason and blowing hundreds of millions of dollars on these free agents, and we're sitting content being penny pinchers?
What do you
hundreds
mean, penny
of millions?
Pinchers? I mean, they spent a lot of money.
We barely broke any bank, though. I mean, we could have picked up a wide receiver. I'm sounding like Eldridge now, but, I mean, when we field this pathetic excuse for a wide receiving corps that we have right now,
I like that.
We're going to make it to the Super Bowl.
Oh, no, I think he did that on purpose.
And by the way, Fred, what money did we spend?
Revis?
That's about it.
That's a lot of money.
But I don't think Denver spent a ton of money.
Their contracts were over $100 million.
Were they?
Yeah.
What did T.J. Ward get?
I've heard that thrown like 23, 28. And you have to take Reeve. I mean, Tlaib is like 50. So
56, right?
Idiotic. I forgot Tlaib.
Well, I could see if you forget 50 million how you didn't
well,
get
Well, I was
to
100. Going like, I thought Ward got like 40. I thought Sanders was like 18 and Ware was like 20. How does he get 100 million? Forgot about the other 50.
Yep. But, we got Revis. On a shorter term deal. You didn't spend a ton of money. That was a little bit Patriot like. You know, and it's also Revis like, by the way. I won't just say it's their end of the deal. He seems to like these short term deals.
But
that
the other one is
roll over year
not
after.
Exactly living up to the money though, is he?
Nope.
The difference between LaFell and Sanders is not that much difference.
You know, Do you see any potential for like a midseason pickup at wideout? No Larry Fitzgerald, no Andre Johnson.
No, I don't think so.
I don't really understand. Well,
Jesus, it's fucking crazy.
Oh, jeez, Mike. Really? Do you have to do that?
Wow.
You know,
as vulgar as anything ever said on the show.
He wasn't even mad.
No, but obviously.
He was now.
And this is what I'm saying. Really, does it drive you to this? Then you should probably, you know, find something else to do with your spare time.
Wait a minute. You can't have it both ways, though. You want
you want them to be loud in the crowd on Sundays.
No, but so you want to call up a show and it drives you so bad you have to just swear.
Okay, he made a mistake.
He made a mistake, but yes, I want my fans passionate.
Yeah,
I have no problem with that.
If that was genuine, then yes, I appreciate the passion.
Speaking as someone who often, you know, gets wound up and speaks out of his butt. I have no problem with someone getting
emotional. Yeah, but that's in Babies R Us. That's not
Fred. No, I'm talking about sports.
That passion is good.
That's parking spots.
The only thing I'm passionate about in life is
landscaping.
There is nothing else.
You know, pool.
Getting cut off in line.
Right.
Continue your joke. The only thing I care about is sports.
I like that passion. I would never criticize that. Yeah. The execution or the way he kind of.
I mean, what are you going to do? The guy flew off the handle. He said the bad word. Andy does it three times a pregame social.
No, I say fuh.
Like, I didn't say fuh.
Like Antoine Smith used to when Stacey James asked him if he could speak today.
You know, so he's mentioning like the two best teams in football, Seattle and Denver. And the reason why is because they've hit on the personnel moves they've made.
3 weeks ago, would you not have put the Patriots right with those two teams?
No, not yet.
Really?
No. I think they're going to be at the end
of the
season.
No, he said
three weeks ago.
No.
Yes.
Why'd you pick them to win the Super Bowl then?
Because I think that by the end of the season, they're going to
So you think they have comparable talent then?
I think they have a good team.
You think they have comparable talent?
No, I think the team can you don't always have to have the best players. You know that.
I didn't say better. I said you think they have comparable talent.
No, if you go player by player, these guys are better. But
you thought 3 weeks ago.
As a team, I think, you know, the 3 weeks ago.
Before the season started.
Jesus. But what does that have to do with anything?
Because I think we're all clouded by how badly the Patriots have played to start the season.
And
this is not what we thought because we thought they were great.
And you mentioned the right word, clouded. You know?
Exactly. I'm not... You always think there's an ulterior motive. There isn't. Sometimes it's just what it is.
I think
the majority of people around here either pick the Patriots to win the Super Bowl or lose to Seattle in it. Now suddenly we can't be expected to have comparable talent as Seattle and Denver.
I don't think we have to have.
I think it's dramatically changed in 3 weeks.
I don't think we need to have comparable talent in order to win the Super Bowl.
Yes, you do.
No.
You don't do what you do in 2001 often.
Well, you know, I think a lot of teams that don't have the best talent in the league often win. That's why Dallas Cowboys
are
criticized all the time.
They're comparable.
They have all this talent. They can't even win a playoff game. It's not just about having the best guys or
the
highest priced guys.
He is the absolute king of the straw man.
It's true.
So let me just cherry pick one team that has some talent. They have arguably the worst defense that's ever been assembled, but we're just going to say that Dallas is talented.
I'm talking about over the last 10 years.
2 years ago, Rob Ryan got fired because he had the worst defense ever.
Yeah.
This year, they've lost
so many
guys.
And one of the reasons they fired him
is because they have one of the worst defenses.
And one of the reasons they fired him is because he wasn't doing a good job with the talent he had.
Really?
Yeah.
They're underachieving on defense is what you're telling me.
I'm telling you that over the last 10 years, Dallas have been one of the most underachieving teams based on their talent in the league. Yes or no?
No. They're not good. You think Tony Romo was a much
not
better player than I do.
Not according to their fans, because their fans are going on their radio and going, Jesus effing, you know,
I know
what.
I know what their fans say.
You know?
I know what their fans say. But you know what?
They feel the same way as our fans
at some
do
point,
right now.
Fred, when you have as many consecutive 8-8 seasons, you are what you are.
All right.
That's all I'll say. I don't think they're underachieving. I think they're not very good. They're a mediocre team.
But I'm just saying that, you know, it's easy to say, well, you know, the Patriots don't have as much talent as the two best teams in the league.
But I'm not saying... The point that I'm trying to make with you is before the season started, we didn't think that the two best teams in the league were better than the Patriots.
And I didn't think they were going to win the Super Bowl because they have better talent than Seattle
and
Denver.
You're the only one that thinks
I think they're going to have a better team without talent. Oh, okay, so now you don't need any talent.
No, without comparable talent to the best teams. You just automatically think you're going to upset them every time.
I don't think it's that much worse that they're going to lose.
Okay, so that's all I said, comparable. I didn't say better, I said comparable.
So you don't think it's comparable?
I don't think they're comparably talented to those teams, no. I don't. I didn't think it then, that's why I didn't pick them to win the Super Bowl. I haven't changed my opinion.
Well,
ooh.
And I'm not saying you have. I don't think you
have
either.
I haven't changed my opinion.
I think you're still very confident.
Absolutely.
You haven't changed your opinion.
Absolutely.
I'm talking about the people that are calling in saying, as you said,
There's no way. Paul, there's no way.
People are changing their opinion based on three games.
I know, but there's no way 3 weeks ago I would have said, yeah, I think the Patriots wide receivers are as good as Denver's. I wouldn't say that.
No, but I wouldn't have thought that Denver's offensive line was this much better than the Patriots.
Well, that's okay. No one thought that our offensive line would play that bad.
I never thought the offensive line would be the problem that it's been to the point that in this part of the
season. No one did.
Okay?
Yeah, I didn't either.
In that regard, some things have changed. I never would have thought 3 weeks ago that Rob Gronkowski would look this ordinary.
Yeah, but I have faith that he's going to get better.
Okay, I don't.
Why?
Because he's coming off a major injury and looks it.
But you did 3 weeks ago.
Yes. See, this is, again, I have no problem saying when I'm wrong.
Well,
I don't. There were things that I thought 3 weeks ago that I no longer think.
I think you're making a mistake.
I thought Dante Hightower was an average player. I was wrong.
I know.
For the positive, I think he's been great.
You're taking three games and you're saying this is how it's going to be.
No, I'm just simply evaluating based on what I've seen so far, not what I think might happen.
Right.
Like you're trying to say. I don't know what's going to happen.
I think Gronk's going to get better week by week.
Maybe he will. So far, that hasn't happened.
I think it has happened.
Well, I don't. I think he's been very average.
Oh, my goodness.
And it worries me. I thought he was going to be the sort of the focal point here.
Well, he is the focal point.
Yeah.
The only question is, it's a successful focal point? Or
I think people are just letting him get off the line. They're not chipping him. They're not hitting him. They're giving him free releases and saying, go ahead.
I think Seattle's I don't think Seattle's as talented as people assume they are based on the success they have. I think they have a little bit of your thing. I think they are better than the sum of their parts as a team. I don't think individually, if you break everyone across the board down, I don't think they're some fantasy draft team.
I think
when you put them together on defense, they are great.
Yeah.
And when you put them behind, you know, the Russell Wilson,
I agree with you and I disagree with you.
I think they're good. I don't think they're great.
I think you're right in terms of offensive skill guys. I don't think they don't have.
No, but
wide
I would
receivers
take Marshawn. I'd love to have Marshawn Lynch.
I wouldn't.
Without the attitude.
Well, you can't have that.
I know. Yeah. But
and that's why I wouldn't want him.
But don't you think he's better than
Stephen Ridley?
Yeah. He's a better running
back than Stephen Ridley. Yeah. But I don't. I mean, but the attitude is part of it.
But when you look at Seattle, you look at that the secondary, and that's what everyone focuses on. It just seems across the board they've got all good players.
Yeah, I know Andy's point, though.
I don't know. I think Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas are elite players. I think Cam Chancellor is probably a – you know what he feels like to me? A guy who, if they win
Bernard
another
Pollard.
Super Bowl and –
he's going to sign a contract somewhere.
And suck.
Oh, didn't he already just sign
he
a contract?
He did, but you know my point. He wins an MVP in a Super Bowl, and all of a sudden he goes somewhere else as the cornerstone of this new legion of boom. Mm. And, hey, we're not as good, and he doesn't seem to be as good. And I don't know.
No, I get it all, but I'm actually more with you, Fred, in terms of not overreacting to just the stuff that I've seen. I am. That's why I told you. You asked me yesterday. I think I still think they're going to win 12 games, and part of that is most definitely history. It's not based on what I've seen through three games. It's more historical. I feel like they'll get better, and I have a lot of respect for the coach.
Sure. You know, now if the championship is in Denver, right now Denver would win.
It's coaching,
but if it's in New England, and I think
it's drafting.
I think the Patriots would have a shot beating them with the talent they have.
You do.
Yeah. Well, I think the Patriots would have a shot to beat anybody.
Yeah, in New England
because they're so well coached. I think they'd have
not
a shot.
The way they've played through 3 weeks.
Yeah, but if they play anything like they've played any of the three games, they won't beat any of the elite teams. Now I assume they're going
to
play better.
They played
that way in the AFC Championship game.
They did.
They got thoroughly outclassed.
Yeah, right. That's my point.
They did.
And their talent didn't measure up.
Right.
Matthew Mulligan. Matthew Slater.
Yeah.
Austin Colley.
It's true.
Tom Brady.
Right.
Missing open throws.
Mm-hmm.
Game-changing open throws.
Let's go to Dan and Harriet. Hey, Dan.
I wish I had thought of that.
How's it going, gentlemen?
Good.
January.
Oh, wait.
Good.
I did.
All right. You're going to have to bear with me a little bit. I'm a bit under the weather.
Don't swear.
I'll try. I will not swear.
Okay.
Well, actually, I can't promise it. I had something that I wanted to call in with last time, but I decided it's a bit too early for that, so I'm going to table that. But I am a little irritated with some of the thoughts I've heard from some of Pats fans being like, oh, we got to rise up, everything's going to be fine. They're always fine. They always overcome.
That's Paul.
Well...
No, that's me.
I'm not really talking about Fred.
Thank you, Fred.
Because when Fred says they'll be fine, half the time I think what he really means is let's move on to another topic. But the reason why I take issue with it is, okay, like, let's go back. 2003, they overcame the departure of Lawyer Malloy. Next year, they overcame having a depleted secondary for periods of time. And Super Bowl, like, in 07, yeah, like, they had a bad game. They were a wagon, bad game. What are you going to do? After that, 2009, lack of toughness all around, bad defense. It was a factor in them losing the final game. Year after that, no outside presence, no playmaking from the running game, factor in them losing the game. Year after that, yeah, they made it to the Super Bowl, achievement, but couldn't get off the field on third down, lots of yardage given up, factor. 2012, similar problems. Last year, yeah, unfortunate situation, Aaron Hernandez, yeah, lots of injuries on defense. It didn't derail them as much as it could have, but at the end of the day, huge factors against Peyton Manning when you didn't have the elements. So my question to all these people that are like, they always overcome their issues, other than when they won championships, when did that happen?
Well, but that's how it is with every team. Nobody's going to overcome every, otherwise you'd win the title every year. You can overcome, like I think last year, they overcame issues to get to a point beyond their talent. I don't think they were an AFC title game talent team, but they got there. I considered that a successful season. It's one of those arguments we've had, success, failure, blah, blah, blah. I think they achieved something and overcame last year.
All right, that's fair. And I'm not saying that, like, you can't hope and it's all, like, gloom and doom, stuff like that. But I'm just saying that, like, when you factor in the Lions situation, it's like, yeah, I have all the confidence in the world that they can get better against the competition that they've already played with coaching. But just considering all the factors, like, yeah, if they had the, you know, stability of Scar, maybe. If they had the veteran tone-setting leadership, maybe. If they had a quarterback that was willing to throw to more than two targets, maybe. They don't have any of that this year. So I'm willing to, you know, hope and pray along with everybody. And, you know, I'm a little bit optimistic, but it's come to the point where I kind of need to see it happening before I'm just willing to accept that it's going to happen.
That's fair.
That's kind of what Paul and I were saying yesterday.
It's a balance between show me or just live on your track record, your history, your resume.
Isn't that kind of what we were arguing yesterday?
And it seems like every year they show us.
Well, is it, though? Because
except for the times that Dan just explained.
I know, but
because when the problems that have cropped up in the beginning of the year and in the middle of the year, yeah, you go through ups and downs, but if it's a huge factor in you losing the final game, how did you overcome your issue?
But what's Dan's, the team that wins every game?
But Dan's point is you generally can patch it together enough to get by most weeks. But Dan's point is it's led to your undoing. When it's mattered most.
Every team. Every team's undoing
talking about the Patriots.
No, I know, but they're, you know, it's
except for the team that, you know, wins the championship.
Well, yeah,
thought that we were just analyzing
but
the
only
Patriots.
One
I don't
team's
know.
Wins the title and every other team has a reason for its undoing.
Right.
It's flaws.
Right. And I'm not saying we should overlook these flaws. Yes, that's why people criticize this show. They say we're too negative. I think on this show, we're pretty honest about, I'll be the first one to say, if they don't overcome or fix this offensive line, the season's done. They're not going to do anything.
Well, I'll give an example. Early in the year, Paul made fun of me because I said I thought safety could be a fatal flaw for this team, that they were just going to rotate through. They're so far from having safety being a fatal flaw at this point that it's not even in the discussion. They're not good enough for that to be a fatal flaw because they got about four other flaws that are ahead of it on the list right now.
Which they didn't expect to have.
Right. They need to improve immensely for safety to get back in the conversation of fatal flaws.
Yeah. I just disagreed with you. I don't think I made fun of you for that. That's a legitimate fatal flaw.
Sometimes when you disagree, you make fun.
I just don't think it's important enough that would unravel the season. Now, so far, you're right. You just said it hasn't been close because their problems on the offensive line are so much more glaring.
No, but, like, and the other thing is, just because you lose a game in the Super Bowl or the AFC title game doesn't necessarily mean your perceived things you needed to overcome was the reason you lost said game.
No, and that's why I said it's not the same for every team. That's why I'm only talking about the Patriots. I agree with Dan talking about 2009. And you said it the day they made the trade. So when Pittsburgh is running all over you in the playoffs and you can't stop it, don't come crying back to Richard Seymour. Well, substitute Baltimore for Pittsburgh.
Right,
and by the way, that was the game that knocked him out of the playoff. That was the last game of the season. That was the last game of a 10-7 season in which you lost all of the games in a similar manner.
But my counter
because you weren't tough enough.
But my counterexample to that would be, had Wes Welker not gotten hurt, would you have been a different team that day? He doesn't play the run. He's irrelevant to the running game.
Yeah.
But would you have been a different
team? I didn't
think
they were a much different team during the year when he was playing.
Your defensive injuries last year, you couldn't stop Denver. But if Gronk plays, could you have won a shootout with Denver? I don't know. It could be a different day that day. Right?
So could have been.
Just because you have issues you don't overcome doesn't mean that's necessarily the exact reason why you lost or came to an end in a loss.
Sure.
Like, what was why did the Broncos lose? What was their fatal flaw that they could not overcome?
They couldn't stop Wilson. You mean the last game against Seattle?
Yeah, the Super Bowl.
Oh, in the Super Bowl. They couldn't
give Manning time.
Right.
Yeah, I think you had it right the first time. They couldn't stop Wilson.
Yeah.
How many third downs did Wilson convert in the first half?
But what would Broncos fans have said was their fatal flaw? I don't know.
Defense.
You know what I'm just
saying? Yeah, they would say that they couldn't give
they couldn't block
time
for
to,
Manning.
Right.
Run it off.
Ryan Clady got hurt and you couldn't give him time. Whatever.
It was to me a complete system breakdown. They got killed, but I would say their fatal flaw was defense.
Right. But did they not overcome defense? I mean, from the beginning, was their defense not good enough? Is that the
No,
argument?
I don't think that's why they lost.
That's
they
my
lost
point
that game
is,
because everything.
Just
because
you lose a game doesn't necessarily equate to you didn't overcome whatever you perceived flaw was along the way. You can lose games for different reasons. You can win games for different reasons. And it may not be tied into the overall analysis of your team. Right?
Well, I said factors.
Factors. Whatever.
Well, there were factors.
I didn't even know you were still there.
Yeah.
No, I think. Thanks.
I was just letting you guys go. I was just like, "This is great."
No, I loved it.
I think the problem right now.
No, he was still
the problem for Patriots fans is that there's been consistent flaws that they haven't seemed to be able to correct. Lately, it's up until last year when they got Tlaib, the secondary was they just couldn't get off the field on third down, and then bringing in these wide receivers that never seemed to be able to catch on.
But
that,
my counter-argument is Seattle has flaws.
That's been a consistent problem.
Well, Seattle has flaws. They don't have a good enough playmakers. You have a good young quarterback, and you didn't give them enough weapons to go win, except you won.
And if they
so
lose,
you don't say that because you won.
And that's a great point. And I also like
it's
Andy's point.
It's your old argument. The result isn't necessarily the
doesn't mean you were right.
Be all
just
end
because
all
you
final
won
answer.
Doesn't mean you were right. And I agree with that. It's anybody can wait to see who wins the game and say, oh, they were better.
Right.
I mean, anybody can analyze the game after the fact and say, oh, yeah, they were better. But Andy's right, and your point about Denver, I would say that their fatal flaw was defense. But just to back you up, if Manning doesn't poop himself from the very first play of the game, maybe they're able to cover up for their defense the way they did in the majority of the games in the season.
And
they're able to stay in it. Manning did nothing the whole game offensively. And it wasn't, I don't think, because they couldn't protect him. I don't think the protection became an issue until they were three scores down. Early in the game, they had all kinds of opportunities to make plays. Manning kept checking it down to little short completions over the middle, and they were getting killed. Seattle just controlled the game. If he showed up and put some points on the board, much like if Gronkowski is available to Brady the week before, 2 weeks before in the AFC Championship game, maybe Manning isn't as free and easy the whole game, and he pooped himself then, too. Who knows?
Maybe their problem was coach, who apparently didn't prepare for noise to be a factor. Maybe that was their fatal flaw. John Fox. Right? Because that's how that game started. They seemed overwhelmed by the noise and the environment and couldn't keep up.
Yeah.
That's coach.
Yeah. All right, Dan.
You could also say if their fatal flaw doesn't exist, if it's patched up before they get to that game, maybe those other things that happen that also cause you to lose the game don't happen.
True. And I could also say that if they won the game,
Dan.
It doesn't mean their fatal flaw was fixed. It means they won the game.
Right? I think every team has.
Patriots won a game this week. I don't think their fatal flaw got fixed one bit.
Right.
Their offensive line is still their fatal flaw right now. They stink. But they won the game. Didn't get fixed on any level.
No.
They won the game. If that were a Super Bowl, their fatal flaw, they would have overcome.
Oh, absolutely.
But that was a Super Bowl. I'd say, how the Raiders get to the Super Bowl?
I think it is
and how
fair.
How are two AFC teams
I think
in
it is
Bowl.
Fair in week three
in
to
Foxborough.
Say.
I would say, who'd ever thought that we'd see like a 15 rating for a Super Bowl?
See, on the other hand, I think if everything had gone the way we thought it was 3 weeks ago and we said, right now the flaw on the team is safety, I would think, yes, that's a flaw that you can overcome and win a Super Bowl. The offensive line, though, I think it's fair to say right now in week three, if it plays that way, you can't overcome that.
Correct.
You can't overcome that.
Correct.
You have to make that better.
Are they going to be better?
Yes.
Why?
They'll be fine.
Next topic.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back. Lots more calls and emails.
I think that's why they criticized the show, was that. Not anything that you say negative.
And we also have our picks.
Oh, when you chew.
We'll be right back.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
Two shows in a row.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress.
I'm having my first ever Mountain Dew, I think, Fred.
Uh-oh, you don't need that.
That's what I was thinking.
That'll speed you up.
46 grams of sugars doesn't seem all that healthy.
Jack!
Especially, I got EEI later. Going to EEI later.
Do you have EEI today?
Yeah, I'm a little worried about...
Holly being there in time?
Holly was just... he won't be there in time. I think he's there at ESPN First Take or Numbers Never Lie. I don't like it when there's people that aren't on the show that are... Christian does it all the time for the midday show. EEI gets no respect from its own employees. They don't show up for their own...
Why don't they just hire us?
Exactly! I don't see any other way to look at it, Paul!
John... I'm the man with the red shirt, not Paul.
John in South Carolina says, the hate is strong. Patriot Nation.
Really?
He said, yesterday I read a board post that said, our first three games were televised and were an embarrassment to ourselves. I'm just learning that we are on Monday Night Football against the Chiefs at Kansas City. Hopefully they won't roll over us. I also see a lot of people who used to mop floors who suddenly know more about football than Bill Belichick. So I turn on the show and I constantly hear Paul saying, Brady won't look at him, so it doesn't matter. Could we all just calm down and use a little less venom? Paul, it's as if you say that Brady simply refuses to throw to receivers. Please tell me a receiver that Brady has blacklisted who has gone on to be successful anywhere in the NFL. Don't say Branch. He was successful here. We are talking about the big list of receivers Paul said Brady refuses to throw to. I included a list receiver at the end. He did, a big, long list. The second half of the game, Brady threw 19 passes. 13 of them went to players not named Edelman. This is going by the targeted player listed on ESPN. Don't read here are the targets, blah, 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 blah. So we can please back off the smarmy comments about the Patriots. I have no problem with analysis, but as a person located outside of New England, half the people talk to about the Patriots are like Justin, you know, possibly stoned and overly exaggerating how bad everything is. Just heard Mike drop the F-bomb. Can we please just drop the venom? That's what John in South Carolina says. Nathan from Southern California.
Wait, you're not going to give Paul a chance to respond? Oh. The guy called Paul out.
If you want to. Sometimes I just let those go.
I feel like we can't really respond. I mean, I don't mean to have any venom.
It just comes naturally.
But I don't mean any venomous. I mean, I think it speaks for itself. I don't really care what happens after the guys leave here. I know that's a very common thing for Patriots fans is name me a guy, even though that there's been a long list of guys that have been successful when they've left here. If I can't name a receiver who's been successful, I don't care. All I can tell you is there's been a lot of receivers that were successful before they got here that weren't successful here. And I don't really understand why. I don't mean that to be venomous. I don't. I know you think I'm being smarmy. I'm not trying to be. I don't understand why guys like Donald Hayes and Ocho Cinco and you know the guys now, I mean, Amendola, LaFell, I'm not even going to take into consideration guys that were past their prime, like Joey Galloway and Torrey Holt. I'll leave those guys out and say they were just
forget
done.
About Torrey Holt.
I'll say they were done, okay? I don't really, and I don't mean this to be argumentative and smarmy. I don't understand why those guys, and you can give me all the targets you want, but Amendola had one. I don't know why that is. I don't think Amendola is this great player. If they cut him tomorrow, I'm not saying that he would go to some other team and catch 90 passes. I don't care. All I know is before he got here, he was a reasonable part of another team's offense. Same with Brandon LaFell. When they get here, they're afterthoughts, and I don't know why.
Nathan, I was just starting to get over the bad performance against Oakland and looking forward to ways we can be competitive and possibly beat KC. Then Tyrone from Delaware called. I'm depressed again, and I'm hanging out in the garage with the car running.
Hey.
What game?
No suicide jokes here, please.
What game plan do you expect us to employ against KC? Do you guys think that we'll be competitive, or should I move the barbecue and lawnmower into the garage too?
Oh my God. That was kind of funny.
I mean, you've
been competitive in all three games. You're 2-1.
I'm expecting you to be competitive. I'm expecting you to win the game. You're playing a bad team. I know it'll be tough. It's on the road. It'll be a tough game, tough environment. I think Arrowhead's legit, but you should win the game.
You need to come out and have a good game.
Yeah, and I think you should. I think you should win the game against a team that you're better than.
Brian writes in, if people really think PFW was too negative, they should take a few hours and listen to John Rook when Eric's on.
Luckily, Eric's not on anymore.
That's too bad. You blew a great opportunity
for 15 minutes.
Rook spent most of yesterday talking about how Brady may no longer be the guy to take the Patriots where it wants to go because of the O-line.
No, it's Taj Boyd.
And that we might need to trade him for some first-rounders. PFW is rarely negative compared to the playbook, though some might argue it's more realism than negativity. Guess I'm just not interested in that much realism for two straight hours.
So you have the NFL's 27th ranked passing offense, and we're supposed to say everything is okay?
But that's kind of my point.
Is that what we're supposed to say?
I'm not trying to be smarmy about
that. You are.
Listen, I know it definitely comes across that way, and I don't mean it to be that way. I don't. Not always. There are times I do mean it, especially when I'm arguing with Fred. I do admit that I take cheap shots.
Well, he actually makes a good point.
When you actually make a good point, I want to point it out.
even paying me a compliment, he has to be smart.
Exactly. He belittles
actually.
You.
Yeah,
actually.
It, yeah, right.
Finally, I got it to stick.
Right. But I don't mean it that way.
Yeah.
I really don't.
You can't help it. I know.
But Andy's right. Do you know who averages the least amount of yards per play through three games? The Patriots. Now, am I supposed to just say
gloss over
yeah
that?
But
right
yeah but it's
yeah
Brady?
But they played the Raiders,
but they're 2-1 like Jerry Callahan.
That's not a yeah but.
Yeah, but they played the Vikings.
Like I heard Minahan arguing with Jerry Callahan this morning again for the third straight day about Brady. Okay, and he goes, so Callahan goes, you want to get rid of Aaron Rodgers too? He goes, well, he hasn't played anywhere near as badly as Brady has, and he's played against better teams. He goes, what are you talking about? He goes, he's got better numbers than Brady. He goes, no he doesn't, he's got better numbers than Brady, Jerry. No, he doesn't. Brady's 2-1. Rodgers is 1-2.
Ah.
I mean, that's the numbers. No. That's what we use, and then they look up the numbers. It's like a 13-point difference in passer rating. Not that passer rating is the be-all, end-all, but, I mean, come on. Rodgers lost to Seattle and Detroit on the road.
Right.
Patriots have played
Andy's 31,
Oakland and Minnesota.
I would also, age would be a factor to me. The guy who's 37 at some point is coming to an end. So that's a factor in your analysis. Is it coming? Is this
the
time?
Well, you're looking for that.
You don't start looking for that at 30, 31, whatever it is. That's the prime of your career.
Wes from Maryland, I know it's time to move on to next week, but I have a question for us. Obviously, I'm not saying we should bench Brady.
but knowing
exactly how the line was going to play versus Oakland and the hits Brady was going to take, do you think Garoppolo could have played better than Brady in that game?
No.
Or at least good enough to win.
No. I think like his center, would have pooped himself.
He's more mobile and more used to going without a strict plan. While I think the line will improve, if it doesn't, I expect Brady to miss a game or two, and I want to know what you think Garoppolo's chances would be against a mediocre team like the Raiders.
I think they would have lost Sunday.
If we need him to keep our season alive if Brady goes down.
I think if he's under pressure, Jimmy's going to struggle.
Sure.
Now, if you tell me a team that's mediocre but doesn't really have pass rush,
doesn't get any pressure on
the line is better, then I think he has a good chance to win.
He'd probably be a lot like David Carr was, Derek Carr.
I actually said that to Paul. I said I tried to think of what would Garoppolo look like were he playing, you know. And if Garoppolo were playing against Derek Carr, mm-hmm. I think Garoppolo would have got his ass kicked because I think he would have pooped himself under the pressure of the Raiders.
And also. You can say he would have looked like Derek Carr if there was a similar game plan and they didn't get any pressure on him.
Right.
And again, we talked about this yesterday, Andy. I think part of the game plan for the Patriots defensively was to sort of let him sit in the pocket and throw the ball. I don't think they really went after him.
And that's a common one for Bill with young
quarterbacks. With young quarterbacks, mm-hmm. especially young quarterbacks that can move a little bit.
He beats their head rather than their body.
So I don't think that Oakland would have done the same thing to Garoppolo and just said, well, we'll just let him sit there and throw. I think they would have dared him to make a play under pressure the way they were getting by that offensive line without having a blitz.
And without having playmakers.
Pat in Agawam, I was on the line, but I had to drop my call.
Thank you, Pat.
Okay, we get it. The Broncos are exponentially more talented than the Patriots, but as Cordell Stewart once claimed, sometimes the best team doesn't win. I'm paraphrasing, of course, and screw him anyway.
And that's your point, Freddie.
Andy, Paul, and even Kevin, listen to Fred. It'll be fine. I did want to touch on what Andy said earlier in the show about us fans having multiple personality disorders. I think some of fans didn't have it before the season started. The team is causing them to. That being said, I'm still drinking the Kool-Aid and will remain drunk on the punch until a playoff elimination or serious Brady injury sobers me up. Although I know Paul wouldn't be that worried if Tom got hurt, we all know he thinks number 12 and the defense flat out sucked this year.
Well said, Pat. You can't say anything to him. He bought lunch.
And that was very well done right there. Okay. Turned all the things around. I like it.
Snap at him.
Mensa from the Bronx.
I don't, so,
haven't heard
the,
him from him in a while.
What is the snapping thing that you're talking about? This, no venom
I
here.
Don't mean to snap.
There's no venom here.
I don't mean to be smarmy. The reason we don't hear from emails is you don't read them.
You're the king of snarks,
that's what everybody says.
Scott. Yeah.
I know that. I have never said I don't mean to be snarky.
Mensa says,
that's like the Pope saying, I don't mean to be Catholic.
Why is it that you guys are calling out Bill?
Smarmy.
Yeah. It seems you never blame everybody. You,
I never blame anyone but Bill.
But he says everybody but Bill. Right. I honestly think he would have been receiving all this accolade without Town Brady. His draft cuts and signings have been horrible. He hasn't done anything since Spygate. If I am advising Tom Beatty, I will ask him to retire while he's on top with no injuries. Bill is not or does not have the know-how to sign good players to protect him.
Okay.
Maybe this is why Fred doesn't read that many emails. All right. They come in
I've
like
heard that.
That
a lot good about Lord. The whole the offensive line thing. I mean, you know, butchered syntax notwithstanding.
Well, he might be on his phone, Fred. Does it say sent from my phone?
No.
Oh.
They went out now. They did draft three offensive linemen
right.
in May. I mean, it's not like they didn't do anything to try to improve.
And by the way,
it would have been better if they had.
Because those sixth round picks are really the future of my offensive line.
There was only one sixth rounder.
There was two fourths. Suddenly, fourth round picks are expected, to be great.
I didn't say they expected to
be. Who's the team that has five across first and second round
picks? But
you
didn't target. Well, first of all, this team had two first round picks and a second round pick. So,
but that's not common. I mean, most teams, they don't invest that highly in interior linemen.
Well, I don't know if that's true or not. I haven't done a draft breakdown.
I mean, there's some, but, you know that.
I just don't think taking two guys in the fourth round means you really took seriously protecting your... I think if you take a guard
in
the first round...
They took a tackle in the first round and another tackle in the second round.
No, but I'm talking about now.
Yeah, well, they're still playing.
No, but the criticism is, are you worried about protecting the franchise? An aging guy up the middle.
I would imagine that they're just as perplexed as we are about the play of this line.
I'm perplexed about the play of the tackles, not the play necessarily of the line.
I was just about to say, I got to believe they think Solder's better than this.
Right, and he might be hurt.
And by the way, we're all screaming for Dante Scarnecchia. Dante's the one that went out to Colorado and worked this guy out 2 days before the draft and said, take him.
Well, and the guy was pretty good when Dante was here.
Okay, so what happened to him?
Dante left.
Is there any chance before just
that he's hurt?
Just do me a favor. Don't scream at me if this is that stupid. But is there any chance that he was made to look a little better because Mankins was next to him?
Could be.
Sure. But I just don't know that that's why you get beat off the edge. I just don't know.
It's the one-on-one stuff. I mean, I don't know how.
Listen, how much all five of those guys have lost their share of one-on-ones.
Yes.
There's no question about that. We've talked about it a lot. I haven't seen a lot of breakdowns. I haven't seen a lot of. This guy came over here and no one accounted for him. It's a missed assignment, a runaway rusher. I haven't seen that.
No.
I've seen guys come in as if they were runaway rushers because they beat the guy so fast.
Yeah.
Correct.
But I'm just wondering if maybe mentally he's thinking more about what's going on to his right and not as much about what's going on the outside. Maybe it's an excuse
making. I guess. It sounds a lot like what Fred used to say about every other position.
And I know that Mankins, I'm not going to get into the Mankins argument. I know that he wasn't great last year, the 11 sacks, all that stuff. I know he wasn't great last year, but maybe mentally he made things a little bit easier for Solder. I don't know.
Sure.
Just trying to look at some of the things that are different and why his play might have suffered. He could be hurt, like you said, too. But, again, we can only go by what we know, and he's not being listed.
So.
Yeah, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's hurt. Back injury.
I wonder if he's got concerns long
term. Plantar fasciitis.
Well,
no,
if the injury is causing him to play like that, you got to sit him, right? You got to move Vollmer over there and put Cannon at right tackle and hope for the best, because he obviously can't do it with this injury if he is in fact injured, right?
I don't know.
Yeah,
but I don't know if he's better than that lineup.
Well, sometimes they say that great players, I'd rather have him at 80% than his backup at 100%. I think it's the opposite here. I'd rather have Vollmer there at 100% then sold her at 80%.
Has he been that much better?
Vollmer?
Yeah.
I don't know, but we've seen him at left tackle, and he's held his own.
I'm talking about...
We've seen Solder hold his own.
Yeah, I've seen Solder play a hell of a lot better. But I'm talking about right now. If you think Vollmer's been that much better.
I don't see it as
much. I think he was better on Sunday. I didn't notice Vollmer as much on Sunday as I noticed Solder.
Right. I do think Cannon's been better at tackle than guard.
And Cannon definitely played better last year at right tackle.
But now, who are you putting at your three interior spots?
You got Stork.
Stork, Connolly.
Stork is the panacea. He's going to make everything better.
Right.
No, everything's going to be better. Yeah.
I think you got to try
another
person. But
I think you got to try something.
You still have to have Debbie in there.
No, I know.
If you're asking me, would I make the change? I would make the change. If as long as he's physically ready, I would make the change. But I'm not doing that, thinking that I've fixed my problem.
Yeah.
No, that seems
see
to be where
it.
I separate from.
No, but it's
the Greg
not,
Bedards of the world.
It's also not whether he's the solution. The simple question is he better than Jordan Debbie?
I don't know would be my simple answer, but I would be willing to try because I don't think Debbie's been very good.
I don't think Debbie's been good at all, and I still don't really understand why Debbie has played. I don't really understand the ascension.
I don't think he played well in the preseason. I don't think he's played well in the regular season.
Can't tell you why Daron Harmon doesn't play, and I can't tell you why Debbie does play.
I don't get it. Debbie does play.
Ah, see what you did.
Any of you guys actually ever seen that movie?
No.
Fred?
What's that?
I'm not a
Debbie Does
I'm
Dallas.
Not a connoisseur.
No.
It's like
I might have seen parts of it.
No.
Which parts?
The good
the
parts.
Junk.
Boob. Yeah, good call, Eric. He was looking at the junk.
Yeah. This movie, it's got too many girls in it.
You know what this movie needs? Brandon Spikes.
All right. It's time to do the picks. It's 1:36, so that means it's time to go around the NFL, do the picks. Paul, what happened last week?
Well, we had a very impressive individual performance last week, Freddie.
Oh,
very impressive.
Especially since it's the guy who doesn't know football.
See,
leading the way.
I'm going to swear like Mike in Toronto now.
Leading the way, Freddie.
No, you won't, because you don't say the Lord's name in
with
vain.
A sterling 15-1 record.
That's impressive.
Was Eric Scalavino.
Wow.
Do the Fred wave.
No one can see it.
Yeah. That's okay. They don't see it when he does it either.
I know. It's stupid when both of you do it.
And Andy's going to get mad
because I had a Mountain Dew.
He's all jacked up on Mountain Dew. Andy was second at 12-4.
That's
Fred,
a good solid record.
11-5. Paul, 10-6. So everybody did better. And of course, I still did the worst.
Because you keep the book.
With the spread, Eric was 11-5, which is an excellent number with the number.
He's always worse with the spread.
An excellent number with the number. ATS.
See, again, I'm going to use
ATS.
Oh, it is ATS, please. Yes.
Fred 10-6, Andy 8-8, and Paul 7-9.
Wow.
Can't so, the standings for the season are as follows. Fred maintains his lead despite that 15-1 record. So that tells you a little bit about the first
two
weeks.
I was 16-16 both ways.
Fred is 32-16. Eric is 31-17, just a game back. Andy a couple games behind that at 29-19, and Paul 28-20.
Yeah, you know why.
With the spread,
get the book.
Eric and Fred are tied at 27-21, followed by Andy at 24-24, and Paul, 23-25.
All right, I got a feeling that this week we're all going to do well as well. So let's start it out with tonight.
Tonight.
Let's see. We got New York at Washington.
What is Drew Brees wearing?
Thursday night, 8:25.
See his shoulder pads, those weird little cups, concavities?
Yeah.
Concavities. Yes.
What are those?
He needs to get those filled.
You think they're sensors or something?
I don't know.
They actually look convex.
I don't know that term.
Yeah,
it's the opposite of concave.
Instead of concave.
They were down. They were little
cups.
No,
they were
like
little bubbles.
They were bubbles.
Oh, I thought they were little
bubbles up.
Down.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Bubbles up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, Washington's favored by 4.
No one can see it, Andy.
They can if they're watching ESPN.
Washington with Kirk
Unlike
Cousins.
You, they could see this. They couldn't see you wave, ever.
Possibly. Washington by 4.
Unless one of these cameras.
These cameras are not on.
Come on,
Washington
we gotta hurry.
By 4.
Gotta hurry.
Over who?
New York.
Washington.
And it's in Washington?
Yes.
Correct.
Kirk Cousins playing?
Yep.
Correct.
I'll take Kirk Cousins over. I'm just going to pick against Eli Manning for the foreseeable future because I hate Eli Manning, and I think he's a pick machine who sucks.
Big win by the Giants last
week.
Yeah,
I don't
though.
Care. They beat up my Billy O'Brien's poor baby.
I will take
baby.
I'll take the Cousins as well.
This Mountain Dew is really going to me.
Win by 6, Paul.
I will take Washington as well. These Thursday night games,
unless the
matchup is really out of whack, I'm taking the home team.
It's like 160 points to 20 points.
Me too. I'm taking Washington.
I made that up, but it's bad.
Carolina at Baltimore, Sunday at 1.
Carolina at Baltimore. Baltimore by 3.5.
So really only a half point, which means it's a pick.
Boy, did the Panthers look bad.
3.5.
Yeah.
Cam Newton should not have played that game. They should have brought in the other quarterback again.
Why?
He looked terrible.
Oh, so you're talking about for performance?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think he's at a level you don't yank him for performance.
Yeah, me too.
But that's just me.
I am going to take the visiting Panthers.
No, but I think his performance was because of the injuries, Paul.
What about the week before?
Didn't the other quarterback play?
No. The first game, the other quarterback played. That's why I was asking, did he get hurt? And I didn't know about it.
Well, I don't think he's getting better.
Didn't he get up slow off the sideline one play early?
All I know is he had 4 layers of padding on his ribs.
Yeah, well, that's why I didn't mean any snark there.
And he
I was legitimately asking if he got hurt.
He looked it. He looked like he had 4
okay,
layers
then
of
maybe,
padding.
Yeah, maybe I would have said, but did it take him out at the end at all?
I don't know.
No?
I turned it off.
Plus he had spandex and
those slippers on. I had turned it off like halfway through the fourth quarter, and then I clicked back a couple of times, and Blunt was getting those typical runs that he got here last year where all of a sudden, I think he had 10 for 118.
He had a 50-yarder.
But he had 9 for another 50-something.
Another run he has longer than Stephen Ridley's ever run in his life.
I know. And it was garbage time, but still.
Stephen Ridley's never played in garbage time?
Are you going to make a pick?
All right.
I picked the Panthers.
I wrote him down.
Okay. I popped my P.
I will take Baltimore to win and cover at home.
I am going to take Baltimore as well. Not totally convinced on either one of these two teams as of yet, but I will go with the home team.
Yeah, Baltimore was going to fall apart. It was going to be last week. They didn't. They won a game I didn't think they would. I think they're going to win again now. Chicago hosts Green Bay Sunday at 1.
Green Bay by 1.5.
Ooh, interesting. Mm.
Somebody hurt in Chicago? Oh, is Marshall not going to play?
Yeah, the whole team is hurt.
Really?
Well, the whole team's hurt.
The whole defense is out. I don't know about Marshall. I know he got hurt last week.
The Packers are a road favorite?
Yes.
In Chicago.
By a
basically
point and
a pick 'em.
I'm going to take the Packers. Why not?
Okay.
The bookies know something I don't know.
I'm going to stick with Chicago. They've helped me out so far. I'm going to stick with them.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Green Bay, too. I just think they're not as bad as this, and they're a much better team than Chicago. I'll take Green Bay.
Yeah, I thought Green Bay was going to be the team in the NFC. I'm going to go with Chicago.
Well, some of us picked the Patriots and the Packers to play in the Super Bowl, and right now it's not looking so good.
Right, I did.
And us mean me too.
Did you not think they had comparable talent to Seattle either?
Who?
But pick Green Bay and the Patriots to play in the Super Bowl?
Oh, I think the Patriots have comparable talent to Seattle.
Okay.
Buffalo.
Now that was snarky.
Buffalo at Houston.
Was he fighting with you, Fred?
I don't know.
Yes.
I was pretty sure he wasn't fighting me at the time.
Well, it was a very simple question that you didn't seem to have the ability to answer. Houston by 3.
Buffalo at Houston. Houston by 3.
I'm going to take my Billy O'Briens.
Your baby?
My baby. Screw the Bills.
Yeah, I think they bounced back from an expected road loss that we all gave them last week.
You might be able to get a job quality control down there if you play your cards right.
And I'm good.
No?
I don't want to live in Houston.
Right. He already has 10 acres anyway over here.
To get everywhere I need to go.
Another ranch.
Yeah, but in the NFL.
Are you taking Houston?
All that glamour.
I took Houston. No. Yes.
Yeah, I'm back to my tried and true.
You could be one of those guys that who's that guy on the sideline that walks around like a hard on.
Probably shouldn't say that.
Are we allowed to say hard on?
I'm going to take Houston. Two crap teams, I'll take the home team.
On this show today.
You can't say the two words that he says in the same sentence. That would really be bad.
What? Who are you picking?
I'd rather look
like
a hard on than a...
I'm going to take Houston.
Okay.
Tennessee at Indianapolis.
We knew what you meant.
Is everyone just taking Indy here?
Indianapolis by 7.5.
Over
Tennessee.
Eric Pitt.
Yeah.
Now remember, it's a division game.
Yes. It's not swaying me at all.
Everybody is giving the points?
Yep.
So we're all...
I will take Indy, but I will take the points.
Okay. How many points is it?
7.5.
I'll take the Lux.
All right.
Charlie Whitehurst might be playing. I might be... Yeah.
Here's
might
a game
be
I'll be
one.
Interested in watching. Detroit at New Jersey.
I love when he does that.
Detroit by 1.5.
Two home games for the Jets in a row. They've lost one of them already.
Why are you, I mean,
against,
I
don't know why I care against so NFC right. North?
So uncomfortable.
When you're this bad, you have to worry about how bad the Jets are.
I guess. I'm going to go with the Lions. I think they're the more talented team. You have Calvin Johnson against a team that doesn't have cornerbacks. That doesn't seem like a good recipe.
Maybe this is the year Detroit puts the talent together.
Oh, no. They have a four-game losing streak
in
them somewhere.
I think they beat up on the Jets.
I don't have any faith in Jimmy Caldwell.
Eric?
Yeah.
I'm going down with them.
Yeah.
I'm doing it.
They do it to me every
year.
I
go 3-13 picking this team every year. I'm going to do it again. Detroit is far superior than the Jets. Everything Andy said is accurate. I don't know why I don't feel good about this pick, but I'm taking the Lions.
Because it's the Lions.
Right.
And you're fixated on history.
Even last week, they beat Green Bay 19-7.
Yeah.
They turned the ball over like four times, three times.
They did their best to lose it.
Yeah. I'm going with the Lions as well.
Of course.
Of course. You know, because of purely analytical reasons.
Oh, sure.
Right. No emotion involved there. Let's see. In London, Miami is at the host Oakland. Oakland's and, the home
Oakland's
team.
Dennis
home
Allen, team. I think, did make
the trip.
Miami by foul.
I'd rather see the cheerleaders in this game go at it. The Raiderettes and the Dolphins.
A rare opportunity to see them on the field together.
Yeah, I'd like to see them on the field together. You know what I'm saying?
Everybody always knows
who's playing quarterback for the Dolphins. Have we made that announcement yet?
I believe Tannehill, but I don't know that.
Tannehill says he's going to start.
He's mad. Ooh.
He should be mad.
Did Joe Philbin say he's going to start?
Yeah, not up to him. You know how you always say it's not up to us to say right. Josh McDaniels is next?
Yeah. Not his decision to make. I'm going to go with the Dolphins. I just think they're the more talented football team. Raiders, I think, are limited offensively. Maybe they'll get Jones-Drew back, but they lose Streeter. I don't feel great about it, but two bad teams, you know what they say.
Take the team in London?
Take the team with the hotter cheerleaders, and I think that's the Dolphins.
I'm going to take the Dolphins, too, but you know what, Paul? I would like those points. I think it's going to be an ugly game, and low scoring and a short
you talk about
victory.
Schedule makers not doing you any favors to open a season. Raiders at the Jets, then at home for week two, at the Patriots, and then to London. I mean, that's ridiculous.
This is a
if Al Davis were alive,
he'd sue.
He'd be suing.
I
will take Miami.
I would love to take Oakland in this. I just can't. I just can't. I'd love to, though.
Why would you love to take Oakland?
Because I want Miami to lose.
Okay!
It's emotion. You know, purely analytical emotion.
You know what this
right.
is telling me?
It's purely analytical emotion.
Some of these picks are telling me that he's a little concerned.
Oh, he's very concerned.
Like he wants
he's
the
like
division
me.
Teams to lose.
He thinks the Patriots are going to win the division at 8-8.
You want the division teams to lose so badly.
Oh, I never want that.
Yeah,
I've never hated the Jets before.
But I think,
not this early and this much.
Why would you be so concerned? Why would you look at that
negativity?
And say, I wish I could pick Oakland.
Oh, stop. You're looking way too in it. Get the tinfoil off your head. Get the tinfoil off your head.
That doesn't make any sense.
Is that why your hair all dyed? You had tinfoil on your head all the time?
My hair all dyed?
No, they say that conspiracy people, they think that the aliens can read their brainwaves.
Gotta hurry now.
Gotta
hurry.
Yeah, so I'm going with Miami. Tampa Bay.
13 minutes.
Tampa Bay at Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh by 7.5.
Pittsburgh by 7.5. The rumbling blunts. I'll take Pittsburgh.
It's the rolling blunts.
Yeah.
Oh, the rolling blunts.
James Harrison, you haven't talked about your thoughts on Harrison coming back.
I didn't realize we needed to weigh in.
Aren't you a big James Harrison fan?
No.
I thought you were. I thought everything about Pittsburgh you were in love with.
He likes the personnel Colbert. Guy.
He wants to date the GM. That's about it.
Right.
And I mean, all the linebackers and, you know.
Well, I like the fact that they focus on the best position. And not surprisingly, the Patriots have focused on the best position. And suddenly their defense is looking better.
I'll take Pittsburgh at home, Paul.
You lay the points?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yes, I will do the same. I think Pittsburgh will keep Tampa Bay hapless.
Yeah. Me too. Jacksonville at San Diego, 4:05 game. Jacksonville at San Diego.
San Diego by 13.
Ooh, 13. That's a big number. You know, they are playing Jacksonville, so I can understand the number, but they're also banged up. I'll take 13? Chargers, but I'll take the points. Jordan Todman with a late touchdown to give me the
late
cover.
I'll take the points, Paul. But I will take the producer not paying attention.
San Diego Superchargers.
Too late now.
Yeah.
I am going to take San Diego as well, and I will lay the points.
Me too. I think San Diego.
You think they'll cover,
this.
Huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
Philip.
Probably not. None of these big spreads have been covered so far this year. It seems like all the double digit spreads have been underdog. Yeah. At Haven.
Atlanta at Minnesota.
Atlanta by three. No, I'm sorry. Yes, Atlanta by three. I had it right the first time.
The first start of the Teddy Bridgewater era, I'm going with the visiting Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, agreed. To win and cover big.
Yes, and cover big. Not win big, just cover big.
Paul? I don't know, Paul. What do you think?
Yeah, to win and cover big.
You big Teddy Bridgewater fan?
He's so frail.
I'm not a huge believer in Bridgewater, and for that reason I'm going to take Atlanta. Whoop. But I think this is one of those games that I don't think Atlanta's very good. And they're off to a decent start at 2-1, but I don't think they've played anybody. I think they continue their good start because they continue not to play anybody.
So they're the Patriots.
Atlanta.
I'm going to go with Atlanta as well. This is, I think, the matchup of the week. Philadelphia at San Francisco, Sunday 4:25.
Reeling Niners by 5.5.
That's a good game. That's a good game.
I'm going to take the Niners. I just don't. I know they were sort of the pick to stumble this year because of some things in the offseason and all that. I just think at home, the Eagles coming across the country. Eagles haven't played dominant football by any means.
First team to fall behind by more than 10, three straight weeks to open a season and win them all.
Yeah, that.
Resilient football they've played.
Well, you know, Chip Kelly has done some research, and if you go down by 10 or more points, it's really good for your motivation, and that's how you win football games. That's what the Navy did. Anyway.
I think they'll start out that way again, Paul, but I don't think they'll have enough to come back. I will take the Niners to win and cover at home.
Now, I got to think the Niners are better than this. The penalties, the sloppiness, they got to be. Their offense has just been abysmal.
Yeah,
they haven't scored a point, I don't think, in the fourth quarter yet.
What are they, the Patriots?
And they got to be better than this. I'll take San Francisco to bounce back.
I'm going to go with Philadelphia.
Believe in Chip Kelly, huh?
Yeah,
Chip Kelly's a friend of Bill Belichick, and I always pick Bill Belichick, so I'll pick Chip Kelly.
Again, always get the tinfoil off your head.
Always a reason.
New Orleans at Dallas, Sunday night, 8:30.
Yeah, this kind of sucks.
New Orleans at Dallas.
Dallas by three.
Why does this suck?
Who the hell cares? Dallas, New Orleans.
America's team?
Now that we can watch this game, you know.
You want a better game.
Game that I want to watch.
You don't like football. I like football.
Oh.
I was just watching highlights of the Moscow Patriots beat the Black Storm over in the Moscow Football League.
Did you get the photo?
Yeah. Christy sent a photo.
Oh, good. I will take the Brandon Cooks, my Rookie of the Year candidate. I'll continue to ask him to roll. And Paul tells me the Cowboys stink. They've never been all that talented ever. And
I didn't say that.
So I will take the Saints.
I will take the Saints, too. I don't know. I don't trust the Cowboys.
Yeah,
and I don't trust the Saints either, but I'm going to take
Cowboys
the Saints.
Cowboys should have lost last week. Yeah. But, you know,
I will take the Saints.
What was the number again, Paul?
Three.
Yeah,
they're a better team, and I think they'll win this game.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Saints just because I want them to win.
Does what's his name still live there? The Peyton, the head coach of the Saints? Does he still live in Dallas?
Peyton? I think he sold it.
He did?
He's a little shady. You never know. He might have stolen it.
Just have that drug issue.
All right. This week I don't have to skip over the Patriots because they are the last team to play Monday night, New England at Kansas City. Paul, what's the line?
Come on, man.
Patriots by 3.5.
3.5.
Patriots favored by 3.5.
So that means 6.5.
On the road.
Free week.
I mean, I'm going to take the Patriots. I'm going to take them to cover just because, you know, that's what we do around here.
Because we're homers.
Not going to feel all that good about it. I think there are a lot of reasons you can talk yourself into the Chiefs winning this football game.
Sure.
The environment, the pass rushers, getting potentially Charles and Berry, two of their key players, back. But I just, sooner or later, don't the Patriots, even if the Patriots aren't that good over a 16-game schedule, even if we overrated them, shouldn't they at least have glimpses of being that good? Even if they can't maintain it, they're really not that good. Shouldn't there be a game where Brady just comes out and hits like 12 of his first 14 passes for 3 touchdowns and they're rolling and they score some points? So they're due. They're due. I'll say they're due.
Kansas City falls in 2 states, right? Kansas and Missouri?
Well, there's a Kansas City
there's
in
a
both.
There's a Kansas City, Kansas,
right.
and Kansas City,
one
Missouri.
Big, yeah. City, though, right?
But it's not like Texarkana.
Oh, is
they're
it?
Separate.
That's not
it's two separate, right?
Yeah, they're two separate.
John, do you know?
And this is
the
Kansas
City, big city.
No,
that's one city that's in two states.
Of it no, was in.
It's
Kansas.
My understanding. I've been to Kansas City, Kansas. It's
right.
Actually two separate cities.
Yeah, that's what I always.
Yeah, but even though Texarkana is actually
one city,
right? That's Texas,
yeah,
not
right.
Arkansas.
But it's in Arkansas, too.
Part of it is in Arkansas.
But
this
Kansas City is in Missouri.
Correct.
Right.
Which is the show me state.
That is correct.
Right. Boy, did this take a long way to get to Grandma's
Good
house.
Good thing we had so much extra time.
Patriots have to show me that they're a better team than they've played so far. I don't think they do it in Arrowhead. The Chiefs, tough place to play and win. Chiefs win.
Oh, hey. It's okay.
Fired.
I just
don't
think,
be right.
I am not
and
liking,
I'm all for, I'm with you.
I'm not liking the way the Patriots have played, but I just don't have I don't think the Kansas City is good enough to I think it's just a hair difference than last week. And the biggest difference to me from last week is the venue. I think Arrowhead is legit and I think it's a tough place to play. But Kansas City is not that much more talented than Oakland right now with all the injuries they have.
So 16-10.
24-19. Patriots win and squeak out a cover.
24-19. Listen, I'm going to say this, and
he's going to try to believe it.
No, until further notice, I'm emotionally prepared for the Patriots to lose this game and the next one. Until further notice. But
I'll never pick them to.
But, right. But they will win. And they're going to turn. It's 31-14 is the final score. Patriots
win.
It's
a big win.
Yeah.
It's a big win.
31-14. So.
Mm. Offense puts it together?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Somewhat.
Yeah, not an ugly 34.
It's still not going to be perfect, but they're going to be better. Mm. They're going to be better.
Okay. Show me state.
Yep.
The defense continues to take the ball away.
Like I said,
where they have ribs.
You know, I'm. This is.
Barbecue.
This is what I'm.
Oh, ribs? Like as
but like I said, I am emotionally prepared.
Well, it doesn't sound it.
Game.
I mean, you're saying
you know what they have there,
things.
Eric Ribs, and Tom Brady's hurt.
When you're emotionally prepared to lose a game, you don't usually pick the team to win by three touchdowns.
No, that's what I think is going to happen. But,
oh, I know his ribs hurt.
But, you know, I'm emotionally prepared to be very wrong on this game.
I'm used to that.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. So that's the picks for this week. John, you're here.
Yes, I am.
Patriots playbook. How you doing?
Excellent.
Yeah?
I'm a little surprised, though. 31-14 based on what?
I think that
he's emotionally prepared for them
to
lose. Usually it would be 45-14.
That's true. That's a good point.
I think there's a lot of room for improvement on this team, and I think they start it this week.
And so
I think all week they've been hearing this stuff. You know,
I hope sure, and I hope it burns.
I
absolutely do. But I guess because some of your emailers thinking that we're entirely negative on the playbook, maybe they just don't want to see what's really between the lines here.
Could be. Could be, but, you know, you've been negative for, what, 10 years now? So,
no, this would be 14 years.
So,
14 years I've been negative Nancy. Yeah.
And you can be prepared now, Andy. You prepare yourself. If Fred's right and they end up winning a game like 31-14, we will take a beating next week, all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Because nothing that we saw in the first 3 weeks really happened. It'll just be about week four.
Right.
So you got to be prepared for that.
Right. Well, what if it's a 31-14 like it was 30-7 in Minnesota and it's not really all that impressive?
No, I'm saying if Fred's right.
No, if the offense, you know, is responsible for the points.
The offense shows significant improvement. The defense continues its strong play, continues taking the ball away.
I'm saying Gronk has a big game.
And it's an ass kicking.
I think Gronk, this is going to be the getting better game. This is going to be the breakout. This is going to be a couple touchdowns. And,
you think
you know,
that catch that he made on the sideline at the end of the first half is the one?
I think he's feeling it. Yeah. I think he's starting to feel that I can be Gronk. Maybe he'll even come out without that big black thing. It's my prediction.
Well, he said it this week, didn't he? That, you know, I feel I'm ready to, you know, take on.
Yeah,
more.
I don't really listen to him. I thought he took a little step forward.
How much
you,
does that really hinder him, though?
I don't know. It bothers the hell out of me.
Well, because it looks like body armor,
couldn't
I
couldn't possibly
that.
Hinder him as much as it hinders Andy's mental capacity.
Clearly, it worries me that he has to wear. He said when last week when we asked him, will you be wearing it forever? He said, I don't know. We'll have to talk about it with the
but
trainers.
But maybe that gives him support. Maybe gives him confidence to be able to be reckless or play with more of a reckless abandon in the open field, which is exactly how he got hurt in the first place.
It's either a physical brace or a mental brace, and I don't like either. Either he's still hurt, and God, what happened
brace.
To that
Listen,
arm?
I'd
and if it's mental, then he's not Gronk.
Put as much body armor on the guy as we can.
No.
Because you're not going to change the style of player that he is.
Gronk doesn't wear body armor. Rob Gronkowski does.
Oh, boy.
There's nothing.
And he drops the mic.
There's nothing worse. There's nothing more tired than his two different people, Rob Gronkowski and Gronk.
Oh, I know. But you know.
Do we not want Gronk on the field? Is that what we want, Andy?
Yes.
Okay.
I have yet to see Gronk on the field.
Gronk needs to be Gronk, and Gronk's got to wear the stuff.
Gronk don't wear no armor.
Yes, it does. Because
funny.
Gronk don't wear no armor. Gronk ends up on the sideline.
No, Gronk ended up on. Well, we don't need to go down that road.
All right. All right. So Andy thinks that Gronk's going to have a big
game. Back, baby.
Yeah. All right. Well,
and through four games, he will have four touchdowns.
That would be a reason for improvement.
Well, I think
okay.
I think you could catch a couple of touchdowns.
Well, that's going to matter.
That could happen.
John, who do you got on your show today?
Mike Tirico.
Oh, okay.
Who will be calling the game with John Gruden on Monday night.
Yes. Can you talk football with him,
big
please?
Big time.
Sure.
Every time I hear him on other radio stations,
he's
they
always
try
talking
to,
something else.
Well, they try to fancy like he's the most versatile mind in all of sports, so we got to get like a Tigers update, and we got to talk ISIS, and we got to talk
World
Middle
Cup,
East
soccer.
Oil. And World. Just stick to football.
I know. We'll try to talk a little football with Mike.
Thanks.
I'll try to work in a little Big East basketball with him since he and I are Big East guys from way back.
See how we completely ignored you.
So he's apparently not going to go to Big East basketball. Patriots.com. We're going to break down the Friars season.
All right. Have a good time.
Love to talk about his beloved Syracuse Orange. Right. So
have a good show, John. And 4 o'clock is the fantasy football guys for all your late week questions. We'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.